you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. We're global. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We're all over the world. And the world's all over me. I've been off for a couple of days. I'll give you the update on how I feel after getting my shot, my Pfizer shot for my vaccination. That's what I'm going to do. Just a second here. And some people may be wondering how I feel right now. Okay, there we go. I just had to take care of some business at the same time. All right. But I'll talk to you about that later. Good morning, good afternoon. I already said that. Okay, this is Friday, everybody. This is April 9th, 2021. It is Friday. Anything goes Friday if you're listening to my voice. If you'd like to come in, you have a book that you want to promote, a single that's out. And thank you. And you know who I'm saying thank you to. I'm glad you are listening. Yeah. Anything, just come on in the studio, catch me up on things. I've been with things. Let's go with the George Floyd thing. Let's do the top stories. All right, here's the latest. George Floyd is still dead. That's it. The trial, well, a lot of people are going to forget what happened. It's like your girlfriend, you know what I mean? When you date a lot of people, you don't remember the third girlfriend or the 20th girlfriend. You only remember the first and the last. And I think that's what's going to happen with the trial. I mean, I can't see how they're going to defend themselves on this one. We all saw the video. Cops were taking a stand. And they were saying, basically they're saying, damn, that's not right. So it only takes one. It only takes one. And think about it. Put five people in the room, just five. Forget five, go three, and see if all three of them agree on one thing. So 12 people agreeing on one thing, it's going to be an uphill climb, but there's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of evidence right now that this bitch should fry, and I'm talking about, yeah, he's still dead. That's the latest news on Floyd. This cop should fry. Everybody knows he should fry. You know what I mean? Everybody knows this. But it takes that one, you know, that one moron. There's always that one square peg that's trying to fit into a hole that sees life differently. And we'll see what happens. That's the latest on Floyd. He's still dead. Now we go to the other story. And again, if you'd like to, oh, I forgot. If you'd like to come in and talk about anything you want to talk about, come on in. You know the number. This is the Loose Show. This is a train wreck, so make sure you get your tickets early because this train wreck can fill up any time now. And when I'm about to hit the wall, you don't want to miss that. Oh, that's good stuff. If you'd like to come in, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. That's the number if you want to promote something that people will actually hear you. Nobody knows who you are until you say who you are. And you're too shy to say who you are. Who gives a fuck? I'm fine after vaccination. As you can tell, I'm more humble. more, you know, this humanity thing. I'm getting that, and I'm getting more kind. I see a bird out there, and I wonder if he has eaten lately. I see a little bird flying on thing. I say, oh, hi, little bird. Bird says, hey, what's up? I said, bird, have you eaten? Bird goes, no, I haven't eaten. I go, oh, okay, bird. And then I want to make him a hamburger. So I don't know if these are the effect of the drugs or not. Who knows? I'm just more kind to people. And you should be kind to people because they're morons. I mean, a lot of these people are just shouldn't be walking around among us. But since they do, we got to watch out for them and be kind to them because we don't want them to hurt us. That's just it. Here we go with the latest of the stories. Here we go. Remember, I'm trying to get my radio voice back. And when you haven't been broadcasting for 3 days or so, you lose a step. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Well, I do have some. What always gets me into my radio mood is messages. And I love the messages that you morons send me because I love you morons. You know what I'm saying. So if you're mentally ill and if you're a moron, please write me. And you can always go to my Facebook page, Brian Hammer Jackson, and you see me because I have a mask on. That's the one. And you can write me. And I love to hear from you because when morons write me, it makes me feel better about myself. Here we go.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Bing. Hey, Brian, and whoever writes me, we keep them anonymous. And how you can write me is you have to go on my Facebook page. I don't do it on Twitter because I don't want that universe coming after me. But on my Facebook page, all you have to do is leave me a message, and then that's when I read it, or I don't. I only read the bad stuff. I don't read the good stuff because the good stuff, you're lying. I just read the bad stuff because it's from your heart. And I will keep your name anonymous because I know you post a lot on my page and you don't need that crap for people attacking you. So I'll keep it anonymous. Hey, Brian, my name is Alex. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. Must be the shot. Must be the Pfizer thing talking. Sorry, Alex. You were talking about a relationship show about 2 weeks ago. Yes, I was. You said you didn't believe in love. Yes, I said that. Well, how can you survive if you don't believe in love? If you don't believe in love, what do you believe in? Because I just met this beautiful lady 3 weeks ago, and I swear, I'm in love. I feel sorry for you if you don't believe in love because you're missing all the happiness. Alex, please keep my name anonymous. Alex. Okay, anonymous. I will answer your question. First of all, there's some people who believe that they're searching for love and they don't even know what love is because love is not a tangible thing. It's not something you can hold, kiss, you can control, you can do this. Love is a feeling. I went through all this, Alex. I'm happy that you're in love. And I'm glad everybody's in love the first time, your first boyfriend, your first girlfriend in high school, wherever, college, whatever, everybody's in love. Alex, I want to refer you to the divorce rate. There's a reason it's high, probably not as high as you because you're in love, but there's a reason it's high. So sometimes when you fall in love, people forget to take care of themselves. That's what I'm saying, Alex. I mean, depending on your relationship, if you're thinking about marriage, it's time to talk prenup. That's right. I'll give you some hints, Alex. If you're thinking about living with her, here's what you need to do, Alex, and I'm going to tell you this. Everything's fine, right, Alex? Oh, yeah, you're getting the pussy. You get love pussy. Now, right now, love pussy is good pussy. Love pussy. Pussy, 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 pussy. Love pussy. Love pussy. It's good pussy. Sorry, Laverne, but I have to talk about it. But then there's different types of pussy out there, Alex, and you will find out. There's revenge pussy. There's love pussy. And then there's also pussy like control pussy. And then there's blackmail pussy. See, you're at the love pussy right now. Love pussy is good. Love pussy, yay, pussy heaven, yay, rainbow pussy. Right, it's going good. So you have to prepare yourself for the other pussies, the revenge pussy, the angry pussy, the revenge sex pussy, the I cheated pussy. Sometimes you got to prepare for that. And preparing for that is don't lose your individuality, Alex. Love who you're with, but keep who you are. Where you go wrong is when you go all in and then you compromise so much that you don't even know who you are. So stay who you are, Alex, because once you fall in love, if she finds out that you're listening to this show, shit's going to happen, Alex. Stay on your ground. Tell her that, hell no, Brian, you're going to listen to Brian. Don't listen to her at all. Listen to me. I got your back because I will be with you long after she divorces you, takes all your money, and you become an alcoholic, and you're going to be doing Oxycontin on the weekend. But I will be there. She will not. Thank you, Alex, for the call and for the message. And there's more, but I think I'll finish with that.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding. Well, that's our messages for today. There's a lot more, but who cares? I'll get, if I haven't gotten to you regarding your messages, tune in another time, and I'll probably read your messages because I'm sure it's intellectual. I'm sure it's something really important that you need to say, and you can get advice from Brian. All right. I should call it the Brian Bitch Line. Hello, Brian Bitch Line. What do you need, bitches? Hi, Brian. Yes, bitch. Well, I fell in love, and I'm so happy. And I can't think of anything, and then I'll get the same call from the guy 6 months ago. Hello, Brian. Hello. Hi. My girlfriend left me, and I think she's cheating, and she has Facebook, and she has 3 Facebook pages. I haven't called her. She hasn't called me back. How come she hasn't come home? She said she was going to be home. I don't like her friends. Her friend doesn't like me. Yeah. Yeah. Just remember, they will leave you, but I will stay with you. So you could cheat on her, but don't cheat on me because that's all you got. I'm with you. My brother, bros before hoes, and I'm the bro. All right, here we go in the news. I got to get my radio voice in here. Let's see what's in the news. Oh, Prince Philip, man bitch, to Queen Elizabeth II. Husband dies at 99. So young, had so much to live for. Did you see the look at this guy? Do you ever see the video of this guy? He looks like the Walking Dead. He looks like, you know, like a vampire sucked all his blood and buried him in the dirt and he came back alive. And it's like, what the fuck is this? This guy's like a walking horror movie. I mean, he makes the Slender Man look really handsome like Tom Cruise. That's what Prince Philip looks like. You know, the Slender Man's going, damn. Anyway. Well, Queen Elizabeth, bitch, Prince Philip dead at 99. Who knew? Who knew? So young, so much to live for. I wonder what he did for his life. All, you know what his job was to do? He was with this woman for 70 years. Have you ever seen Queen? Now, you know, Queen Elizabeth II is not that bad looking for a woman over like 100. I mean, if you're really going for a beauty contest of women like 100 years old, I mean, Queen Elizabeth II can maybe place third. I mean, look at that. I mean, if it was a 100-year-old calendar for women, can you imagine Queen Elizabeth II like in a thong and a bathing suit? I don't know. There's something there. I would bang her. I would bang the queen. Something there. Dress. We should show our respect to the Royal Hiney. So here we go. London, Prince Philip, a constant president at the side. Of course he is a constant president. Of course he's going to be by her side all the time. He keeps her from falling over. If he wasn't there, she'd be leaning to the left and she'd be hitting the ground. Yeah, that's his job, is to stand side by side with her so she don't fall over. Good guy. And he's the longest serving consort. What the hell is a consort? I'm going to have to look that up. Is that a nice word for man whore? Because I don't know what a consort is. I'm going to find that out. Yeah, basically, he's a man whore. Let me see what that word. I got to look it up so I can put it in my vocabulary. So I got to sound intelligent to you bastards. Consort. A wife, husband, or companion. In particular, the spouse of... Okay. So a gold digger. A wife, husband, or companion. There you go. He's a consort. Or consort. To a monarch in British history. Okay. He has died. He was 99. The royal family, joined with people around the world, is mourning his. Who's mourning his loss? I mean, anybody that he knows is dead. I mean, it's not like he's making a lot of friends. It's like he's 99 years old. I mean, there's nobody in his high school. They probably burned the high school down. Who does he know in his childhood? Who's mourning him? Anyway, he was 99. He had recently been hospitalized for treatment on a pre-existing heart condition. Oh, no wonder. This heart can't last 99 years. Come on. He was discharged. Ooh. Oh, he was discharged. Okay. I stopped there. My bad. Yeah. I'm going to clarify that. He didn't have discharge. He was a discharge. He was discharged in March after staying in the hospital for a month after an operation. He was born a prince of Greece and Denmark on the island of Corfu. What the hell is Corfu? C-O-R-F-U. There's no such island. And if there is an island, it's probably like 10 people there. He married the queen, then still a Princess Elizabeth. In 1947, he was 26. And she was 21. They were third cousins. Damn. I did not know that. This is shit. This is some shit. They were third cousins. Third cousins. Descended from Queen Victoria. He married his cousin. I don't care if you said third or two, twice removed. They were cousins. Damn. Wow. Let's get some real, you know, just like some kind of weirdo shit that's going on there. Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. Oh, right. You know what? I'm going to make names for myself, too. Shut up, Duke of Edinburgh. I'm going to be Brian. Brian, Duke of Los Angeles. Prince of Thieves. I'll figure out my title. Oh, Duke of Earl. I like that. I think I'll take that. Brian, Duke of Earl. That's going to be my name. I want to be the Dookie. Dookie don't sound good. Dookie? Why did Dookie don't sound good? Wait a minute. I didn't even take my title. The Duke of Earl. I kind of like that. The Duke. Where did I hear that from? Duke of Earl. Duke of Earl. Let me see. Duke of Earl.
Nothing can stop the Duke of Earl. And you are my girl. And no one can hurt you. Oh no, if I we will share if I
I think I'll give it the name of Duke of Earl. Brian Duke of Earls. Anybody named Earls? I'm the Duke. Dookie Brian. Royal Brian. Royalty, baby. Because I don't want to be a consort. Back to the story. Yeah, I lost my place. There you go. Who cares about this story? Oh, that's a good story. Johnson & Johnson. We're going to be doing that story in about 2 seconds. Right now we're talking about the Prince bitch. Prince. Cousins. They got something, you know, you got some explaining to do. Look at that. Wow. So Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, spent most of his adult life walking a step or two behind his wife. Really? You wonder what kind of sex they have. If he's walking behind her all the time, you know it's doggy style, or what they call the royal doggy. You know what I mean? He probably gives her the royal doggy. It is sanctioned by the royal family. I mean, they're cousins, for God's sake. Come on. The royal doggy. He accompanies her to state dinners, garden parties, and charitable events. Behind the scenes, he was credited with working to push the monarchy to be more open and accessible to the British public. He was also affiliated with some 800 organizations, including numerous charities. Really, that's what you've done? A five-year-old has done more when they wake up. I know Oliver has done more when he wakes up than Prince Dookie. Come on. That's what you're doing. That's your job. We're going to make the public more accessible to the royal family. Really? And then you're going to just go with and put your face with 800 organizations, and we're mourning what? A five-year-old has done more in one day than this guy, Prince Dookie. So Prince Philip carried out his public duties until August 20th, 17, when he made his final official appearance at the Royal Marine Parade. Oh, let's go to a parade. Known for his sometimes outspoken remarks, Prince Philip treated his role as a consort, and let's just put it here in American terms, as a male whore, as an act of duty before anything else. There is that duty word again. His passing marks the start of a generational transition for British royal family, which has been a bastion. That's a word. Bastion. B-A-S-T-I-O-N. That's a word. I think it's a British word. We don't use that word. Them British people make up words. A bastion? Really? Ha ha. We're not falling for that crap. It might be a word. I don't know. These royal people make up their own words. Nah, I'm not falling for that. Well, we better check it out just in case. I challenge that word. It's a word. Bastion. Ooh. It's a project. It's a projecting part of a fortification built as an angle to the line of a wall as to allow defensive fire. And so, oh, who cares? Still not good. Of stability for the nation since Queen Elizabeth ascended the throne in 1952. Queen Elizabeth, now 94 and hot as ever. Wow, you should see her porn tape. Wow. Can you imagine if she has a hidden porn tape? Queen. I mean, I'm not showing any disrespect for the royalness, Dookies. But still, 94, she's looking good. I mean, you see those sagging breasts? I mean, you don't usually see sagging breasts like that. I mean, those are royal saggy breasts. Those saggies, and how she lifts them up, and they put them in place, and they're like the... And they're nice proportion, I mean, up on her body this time and not below her. I think she does a good job. I'm going to give her credit. Queen Elizabeth, now 94, increasingly stepping back from royal duties with their eldest son, Prince Charles, and grandson, Prince William, taking up the mantle. Though he was born in a royal family, Prince Philip had a relatively rough childhood. Oh, really? Let's see how rough it was. While he was still an infant, oh yeah, good. baby tragedies. And we love baby tragedies on his show. If you have a baby tragedy, please come on the show and let us hear about your baby tragedies, because it's one of the things we like on the show, baby tragedies. Come in and you can talk to the Duke O'Brien. Duke of, yeah. Baby tragedies. Let's get to the point. Here we go. Let's see what happened with him when he was a kid. Prince Philip's father effectively abandoned the family when the prince was 9. That don't make no sense. He's a prince. So is his father a king? And even the king said, I'm out, y'all. What king abandons the prince? What's going on here? Something don't make no sense. How does a king abandon his family? Let me see what's going on here. Though he was born into a royal family, Prince Philip had a relatively rough childhood. When he was still an infant, a Greek revolutionary court sentenced his father, Prince Andrew. Oh, his father was a prince, and his name was Andrew. A Greek revolutionary court sentenced his father, Prince Andrew, to banishment for life for disobeying a military order during battle with Turkey. Wow. They banished him for life. Can we do that with Trump? I mean, there might be a loophole here. Can we banish that idiot for life? Wow, for disobeying a military order. Then how did he become a prince? That forced a family of 7 to flee the country, according to the young Prince Philip, a biography by Philip Eade. Ooh. They live in poverty. They lived in impoverished life in exile in a house provided by a relative on the outskirts of Paris, according to the Queen, Elizabeth II, and the monarchy. Prince Philip's father effectively abandoned the family. I wonder, well, I'm out, folks. Daddy, I got to go. Well, it's this little thing here that they're going to banish me for life and I can't come in the country, you know. I'll write to you. Take care. Have a good life. Well, back to our prince. So his father abandoned him when he was 9, and his mother suffered a nervous breakdown. Wow. And spent many years in the mental health clinic. Let's see. His mother is mentally ill. His father was banished from the country. And he was a prince. And you'd say, we have problems. You know, they have problems too. This is interesting. His mother was mentally ill. So with Prince Philip eventually went to live with relatives in England. He was sent to boarding school at Gordonstoun, a private institution in Scotland with a reputation for strict discipline. He probably got whacked on the ass a lot with the ruler. Did I mention I am the Duke? Royalty. Bow to me and off with your head. That's my motto. If you don't use your head, I may take it. True. I rule with an iron fist. That's what I do. Going back to Philip. Wow, this guy's a clusterfuck. What a mess he is. Wow. All right. Wow. After his school years, he attended the Royal Naval College in the seaside town of Dartmouth. It was there he met the future queen during a visit by the royal family in 1939. Philip, then 18, was taken in to see the 13-year-old princess. 13 years old? You're 18, you pervert. You mentally ill pervert. How dare you're 18 years old. 18, you pervert. She was only 13. I was 13. He was 18. This is sick. sickening. You pedophile. How dare you? How dare you? Mm. 918, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning.
Well, I think you have an explanation to give me. I've been worried sick about you. You're going to get that vaccination, and then you didn't have a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I even contacted Melissa because I contacted you on your Facebook. No response.
Right.
I posted on your Facebook page. No response.
Yes.
But you sound good. So.
Do I really?
That's relieving.
You sound good. Well, thanks for worrying about me. I called you Monday. You called me on my phone?
Facebook. You can call people on Facebook.
Oh yeah. No, I put the
which
wrong
I did
phone
like five times.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart.
Okay.
You do care. No, I didn't get it because I put the I don't want people calling me, so I made a number on Facebook. But thank you, sweetheart. This is Angela, everybody. Angela's in the studio. Laverne is listening. Melissa's listening. Thank you, Angela.
You contact somebody? I mean, I know you talked to Melissa. She spilled the beans.
Mm-hmm.
That your arm was sore.
Well, yes. Yeah, I did. I did. I spoke to Melissa and I spoke to Laverne. I spoke to King. They were concerned about me. You know, and I did not have your phone number. I did not have your phone number.
Oh, okay.
But I took the shot, and my arm was hurting really bad after the first hour. I could barely lift it to the level of my ear. But that was supposed to be, that's normal.
A sore arm is expected, yeah.
Right. That is expected. I had a stiff neck. Cindy is fine, thank you.
Handle it better?
No, she experienced the same thing with the arm soreness, but she also experienced shortness of breath. What else did she experience? It was mostly arms.
That's scary.
She didn't complain that much. It was scary.
Uh-huh.
I experienced it too. It was scary. So we didn't know what it was coming from. I mean, you know, these symptoms that you get, you don't know if it's because you haven't slept right or whatever, anxiety. But we're okay.
I guess that's true.
The only thing that I think I feel
4 days
is that
without
I'm,
a show, though.
Ah, you miss it, sweetheart. Come on.
I was worried. You know, I'm like, something happened. Yeah. Something happened. These African Americans, something happened. Because there seems to be more. Well, no, because there's more reactions with African Americans. It's true.
Yeah. Well, I know.
So
but
that
I mean,
was a factor, you know.
Tell the
I
truth,
tried to find Cindy
me.
To see if she was alive.
Oh,
you
my
know.
God. What are you doing?
I looked for her Facebook page. You know, almost called a friend that could dox her, you know, just to see if she was alive. You know.
What? You called a friend who could?
I was worried.
What are you
saying? No, I almost. I have friends that they're not. their behavior is to be questioned.
Who?
No. No.
Well,
no, my friends that can dox.
Oh.
They could even
get
into your medical files. There's some of them
don't get it.
You know, just because they got into my medical files, you know, they thought it was funny.
Funny. It's scary. You're a scary person.
Well, yeah, because they're very easy to hack into. I didn't know this. But medical files, you know, your records are easy to hack into.
But thank you for worrying.
I had no idea.
I didn't do a show.
Every
I some
day
family.
I called your show.
Did you really?
Every
how
day,
was,
yes.
How was it without
start at
me?
9, the then it would start at 10. And then, it was quiet.
Wow.
It's quiet.
Wow.
So.
Well, remember, all you have to do is go to Blog Talk. It's blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson and hit follow, and it'll be right in your email. You'll know when I'm up.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well,
well,
I obviously knew that you did not have a show for 4 days. So
I know.
I was really worried.
Oh, I'm fine. As you can tell, I'm still nuts. I'm okay. You know, the side effects that I feel, again, my arm finally getting a little less sore. After 4 days, it's still sore. It's there. after 4 days.
But not as bad?
But it's less sore. As I told Melissa, as I told the lovely Melissa, the lovely lover, that I'm in a fog. I'm in a daze.
Okay.
It's like I can't really focus too much.
Oh,
and
so we can take advantage of you. Melissa should get on the horn.
That's your wet dream, isn't it? That's your wet dream. Stop
no,
it.
No,
your
I don't
behavior.
Have wet dreams.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No, I
yes.
don't.
Did you know that I'm a Duke of Earl? You should love me. I'm a Duke of Earl. I'm royalty.
You're royalty.
I am royalty. You never heard of the Royal Bryans?
Well, you know, Prince,
the O'Briens?
Prince Philip died.
We were just
about
looking
Prince
at
Philip
that.
Dying?
I was just
this
reading.
Morning.
Did you know? Yeah, I know. Did you know? I was just reading about him. This guy was the cousin, the third cousin, okay? But he was a cousin of Queen Elizabeth II. They were cousins. Did you know that?
Well, a couple of times removed.
Well,
all the royals
yeah.
are related.
Right. They
doesn't
went back
matter
to the
what
old
country
school.
They're in.
Right. Wasn't yeah. the rule in the to keep that royal blood that it was like the second cousin, the you know, the game on, second cousin on up is fair game or something like that. Well.
Well, one of the Elizabeths had a lot of kids and they married the rest of the royalty in Europe. That's how it happened.
There's a lot
Elizabeth
of shit. Did you know that he came from an abused family, that his father was had to leave Germany and or Germany, I'm sorry, Britain. He was and his mother went to a mental hospital.
Montague.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
His mother.
I watched The Crown. I highly advise people to watch The Crown because it's not a play-by-play, but it gives you the basic facts. Yeah, and
wow.
she was a really nice lady, the lady that was forced into a psych ward. That's what they would do if royals they didn't like. They just throw them
really?
In a psychiatric hospital and kind of like throw away the key. But she got out.
Yeah.
Well, no,
well,
it was like a prison. It really was, especially then.
You know, in those days, you know, they're doing actively practicing lobotomy at those years.
Oh,
Did
yeah.
you know that?
They were
so
starting
I wonder,
back then.
Yeah. I
yeah,
wonder.
There's a whole couple episodes about her and what she went through. She was a very clean woman. You want to talk about dysfunction? Look at the royals. Anybody else here?
Yes. There's five other people here. Why, you don't want to talk to me? You miss me so much, and the first thing you ask is, anybody
oh, no,
else
I'm,
want to talk?
I'm taking over the show here, and I didn't
Go
want
ahead.
To keep other people from talking.
No, they're not. Their mics are open. They can talk. Here's what happens sometimes,
okay.
because you know where we are. You're on the East Coast, right? You're in Alabama. You're
no,
not
I'm
you're,
in
you're,
the
you're Midwest.
In the
you're
South
Midwest.
Right now. I'm in Arkansas right now.
Okay, you're in Arkansas. Well, in Arkansas right now, 9:10, it's 11:39. It's almost 12 noon. People are doing things. It's a Friday. They're at the store,
yes.
the shop. So
I'm
sometimes
waiting for the dryer man.
Exactly. So sometimes what they'll do on our show is that they will come in. I know Laverne's taking care of business right now. That's why I'm not opening up her mic.
Sure.
Well, she has a question mark, so I might open it. When I see a question mark,
okay.
if I actually want to talk, so I'll just check.
Okay.
But she may not talk. She has things to do. Laverne Verney, you're live on the air. I know you wanted to come in just to listen. I'll just give her two seconds.
No, it's Hotep. How are you, bro?
Oh, it's Hotep. Hotep, you're coming in with Laverne. How dare you impersonate
oh,
Laverne?
Okay.
You
he snuck in my place last night. Hey, listen.
Hotep, yeah.
were you worried about him?
Oh, yeah.
Did he
and
contact
that's why I'm calling
you?
It. No, I heard from the black delegation, and they said to make sure the vaccine didn't take out his black love and black knowledge. So I got two questions. The capital of Rwanda, if you can name it, we know you're with us. But there's a backup question. Who is Kenny Parker? Any of those two, you're still with us, brother. If you lost them, I don't know what to say.
What was the last question?
The capital of Rwanda.
Was...
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
You don't wait a minute. No. I know. I'm just opening up the phones because Melissa wants to say hello to you.
Hi, everybody. I'm taking over the role of Brian's secretary.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Melissa.
Yeah, I had to contact Melissa.
And then I get a hold of him. People are looking for you.
Yeah, really like a bill collector. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the capital of Luanda.
See? That scene. What about Kenny Parker? Do you remember Kenny Parker, my brother?
The only I remember
That's
is
my
Kenny
cousin.
Parker
Kenny Parker, my cousin.
They knocked out all his knowledge of Black Power. Oh, my goodness.
I did. They turned me. But I do like orchestra music, and I remember Lawrence Welk. Some reason.
Kenny was
I don't know.
KRS One. Oh my goodness.
I didn't have my Black Power. Oh my goodness. Took away
production.
My Black Power. Yeah, I know. Let me play Kenny G. He relaxes.
Didn't
me.
They have like one black guy on there?
What? Boogie Down Production?
Lawrence Welk. Was there one black guy?
Maybe for a year. I don't think it lasted
maybe
very long.
A tap dancer or something.
Yeah. A tap dancer? I think I remember
like
tap
that.
Dancing.
Melissa,
they had a whole bunch of tap
dancing. You
don't
remember them dancing? Come on.
Oh, God. I had to listen, watch that
Me
show
too.
With a number of people.
Your
you know, elder people like my mother.
Out.
My mother still watches it. I just quietly get on my phone and I sit with her.
Really? I gotta get into my P. I gotta get back into my P funk. You know what I mean? I gotta get back into my George. You know what I'm trying to say? Then I could get back to my blackness again. You know? It took out my.
Yeah, jurors were falling asleep during that trial. By the way, that's not good.
I do remember Boogie Down Productions, man. I remember. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, Mr. Hotep.
Okay, so you're coming back.
Members?
You're coming back.
It's coming back. It's coming back. I
Keep
remember.
Your eye
Boogie,
on the
oh
light.
My God. Oh my God. I remember Boogie Down Productions. I remember Fuck the Police by N.W.A.
No.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yes, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, check out his new album about. Between the Protests, BDP, it's awesome.
Really?
KRS-One.
Who does that?
KRS-One.
Oh, seriously?
He has a new album out. Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably one of his best in 20 years.
Who dropped? A 918 dropped. Angela dropped. She'll come back. I like the old soul bebop sometimes. I don't know if this is new, but the latest with, God, help me out here. Seriously, I'm in a fog, dude. I'm in a fog, man. I can't even remember his name. Anyway, I'll get back to him. But he had a new, this is what's happening. I'm in a fog right now, Hotep, and Melissa, because I talked to Melissa. Angela left. I am, and I don't know if it's lack of sleep or whatever, but it's like a little confusion going on here, you know? Just a little confusion going on. I'm just being honest. I just don't know what it is. So we'll see what happens. I'll write it out. But my short-term memory is kind of foggy. And I took this shot Monday. This is Friday. And I expect, and all those side effects should have been gone by now. My arm is still sore. I'm scheduled to get the other shot in 3 weeks. And Melissa got some news on Johnson & Johnson, and Laverne got some news on Johnson & Johnson, which is really taking me back. I'll look for it. Melissa, do you know at the top of your head about the Johnson & Johnson news? Because I'll look for it.
Oh, I sent it to Laverne. It was, it came from Fox News Business or something.
I think it was
in Colorado they were having a lot of problems with a particular vaccine, and they'd closed down some of the sites.
Well, here it is. Sammy School never lost a case. She's a reporter. Here it is.
I saw that photo then. I'm like, ooh, look at that.
Well, I don't know if it's the same one. This came out April 8th, 2021. What is it? Oh, yesterday. Damn.
Now,
headline.
Today's the 9th. I'm like you this week. I've lost days.
I know.
Yeah.
It says Colorado Department of Public Health clears use. They clear it. Use of Johnson & Johnson vaccine after some experience adverse side effects. What the fuck is the side effects they experience? blah, blah, blah. They clear it. You know they're going to clear it. It's all about money. You think they're going to take that off the market? Are you kidding me? For God's sake, they're not taking that off the market. But I just want to know what their excuse is to put it back on the market. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environmental said Thursday that the problems experienced by 11 people after getting the Johnson & Johnson or the Janssen COVID vaccine at Dick's Sporting Goods. It all goes back, kind of irony, right? Johnson & Johnson and Dick. I mean, how many times is kind of repetitive, you know, repetitious, Johnson & Johnson and Dick? Come on. Come on. Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Wednesday did not indicate problems with the vaccine. Let me see the reports of each of the individuals that was feeling unwell. What does that mean? There were stories of people who had needle phobia. Okay. Of people with a history of anxiety. Okay. Others were just feeling very lightheaded and fainted while sitting in a chair. These are the problems? These are not problems. My conclusion is that the reactions we were seeing were based on people undergoing a vaccine, some with anxiety, some with nervousness from it, the pain associated from it causing some anxiety, explained the doctor. We really need a doctor for this. These were real reactions. I don't think it represents the vaccines themselves are at fault or a failure. I think they're safe, and it's important to get them all vaccinated. There you go. That's the story. I mean, that's a non-story. These are people who have anxiety getting a shot. It seems to me it's right. Just shot anxiety.
I didn't read the whole
know?
Thing. I just right. sent Laverne the headline.
No. I just wanted to go a little further.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to go a little further. The human beings are not absolute. People are going to have different side effects. Again, me, I got really tired. I slept for like 3 hours after I took the shot. My arm's killing me. I think some people get headaches. Headaches and stuff. I didn't get it. I am a little foggy.
Sorry, guys.
That's it.
Hey.
Oh, Oliver.
Hold on.
Ollie. Oliver. Everybody, welcome Oliver to the show. How you doing, baby? Baby-o.
Hey, Hammer, I have a list of documents. That the story you read, they kind of downplayed things. Here's a few. I'll take 20 seconds. Suspicions grow that nanoparticles in Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine trigger rare allergic reactions. That's on sciencemag.org. North Carolina cites halt vaccine. That's the one you were referring to. Problems with AstraZeneca. Science.sciencemag.org. Same site. They just have a slash, and of course my screen scrolled. I have vaccine alternatives for people with compromised immune systems, nationalgeographic.com. Vaccine alternatives on Amazon, they have a few books about it. The discussions aren't really being had. They're just often scare tactics. It would be great if they taught people what a vaccine is, how the lungs work, about improving diet, about enough sunlight, and if not, getting some vitamin D. But I think people keeping people ignorant is a great way to cause mass hysteria. And then, not that, you know, some people aren't sick, but there's a 1% kill rate with COVID-19. And thank you for listening.
No, that's good information. Thank you, Hotep. That's good. I think I got some of those symptoms. One, I looked a little further. I didn't get the J&J. That's Johnson & Johnson. But that can cause breathing difficulties. I had that. I had this tightness in my chest, and I didn't know. See, what me and my girl did was we didn't take the car. We said, it's a nice day. Let's walk up there. It's only 4 blocks up, right? I don't want to hassle with the parking or whatever. We walked back down. Going up is uphill. Going down, of course. I had a tightness of my chest when I was going home. I figured it was just, you know, whatever. It went away. It says here, breathing difficulties, I had it. Swelling of the face and throat, no. A rapid heartbeat, I don't think so. Rashes all over my body, well, no, I fixed that with cream, and I notified the woman that she should get checked up, so I don't think my rashes was caused by this. Dizziness, no. Weakness, no. But don't go by me, because my health is not the best health. Well, I should be.
Do you have to have another one, or did you do the one time?
No, I got to go back in 3 weeks. I gotta go back in 3 weeks. Now I hear the second one is really bad. People are just going nuts.
Why did they do this?
One.
I mean, they don't. This is so weird.
Well, get this, Melissa.
A lot of this doesn't make sense to me.
I know, but get this. They're working on a booster shot, so we're going to have to take 3 shots. They're working on a booster.
What?
Because of the different variants that's coming out of the UK and different variants that's coming out of Africa. So it's mutating. Basically, what they're saying, when somebody says variant, translate it to, it mutates, and that's what viruses do. You know, Hotep could get a virus, and it could be the pure virus. By the time I'm hanging around with Hotep and his system, the virus goes, hey, this is some stuff I got from Hotep and everything, and I'm just going to, and then I'm going to give it to you. I go, oh, I got the good stuff from Hotep, and I got some bad stuff from Hotep and the virus. It just mutates.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you know, it'll be a Hotep virus.
It mutates like their bank accounts getting bigger.
Yeah. It sure does, don't it? It sure does. It sure does. Oh, my God. Come on, who's the singer? I can't get the... He kind of reminds me of Michael Jackson. He did the thing with...
Prince?
No. Currently. Damn it. See, this is the thing, Hotep and Melissa. I can't remember short shit. And it scares the shit out of me.
A black guy or a white guy?
Yeah, he's a black guy. I was listening to a song.
Bruno Mars?
What does he sing?
Yes! Bruno Mars. That's the one.
Okay.
Very good.
I am psychic. You can send me money. 888 Hotel.
What was it? Miss Cleo? Remember her?
Miss Cleo, yes. She died, by the way.
Who did?
She was unbelievable.
Miss Cleo.
Remember, she used to be on the TV.
Cleo.
But he did a new song. He teamed up with a group called Silk Sonic. And the song is Leave the Door Open. And I love this song. It took me back to the days of, old school. Here it is. Tell me what you guys think of it. So this is his latest song. But it's so old school. Tell me if you like it. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. And I haven't heard that sound in a while, since the 80s. Here we go.
What you doing? Where you at? Oh, you got plans. Don't say that. I'm sipping wine in a row. I look too good to be alone. My house clean, my pool warm. Just shake. I'ma leave the door.
you go. It's like the old song, man, the old sound in the 90s. And when I heard that, it's like, damn, that's a jam. What
I
do you
like
think?
That.
Do you?
Wait, I think I don't feel the 90s, though.
You don't? What
a
do you feel?
A bit of cultural
yeah.
theft. The Gap Band, the Zap Band, Earth, Wind & Fire, the leader of Earth, Wind & Fire, worth 70. $5 million.
Right.
Bruno Mars,
what did you think
of 75 million.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're right, 70.
But I
You're
like
right.
90s. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Too.
It's just that I've seen this before. But, you know, Elvis Presley, you know, it goes on. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones. You know,
right.
We create stuff in the black community. And
right.
nice people sometimes come along, you know, and take it and become superstars. Meanwhile, the people that made it are, you know, struggling to try and jump. you know, so.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah,
it's,
but I like
you know,
it
something you play in the house, and it would be nice, you know?
Right. You know, it's just
yeah.
getting back to, the, like you're saying, the 70s or whatever. It's just
yeah.
a nice melody blend.
Nostalgia. Yeah.
yeah. So that's his new one, Bruno Mars. He's with the group. I mean, well, I think they featured Bruno Mars, but the group is called Silk Sonic. And I think they've been around a while because I remember them. The name of the song is Leave the Door Open. I like it. I really
okay.
do.
What would be so good, I'm sorry, is if Group Bruno and the Mumble Rappers reached back and brought back some of the people that are the godfathers and mothers of hip-hop and funk,
mm-hmm.
put them on stage, you know, at least show some kind of respect and help them to get a check, because a lot of young people don't even know about the Gap Band and Earth, Wind & Fire and Kara
That's
and Ron,
right.
you know?
That's right.
So it would breathe
yep.
some life in, yeah, so.
Well, as far as
you
our
know,
friend,
I really
Earth,
like
Wind.
I like Nina Simone. I really do.
You
a
know
lot.
Nina?
Yeah.
Whoa, look at you! Really?
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Our friend yeah. with Earth, Wind & Fire, he listens to the show. He was part of us for a while. I invite you back. Hopefully, you'll come back and talk to us. He was with Earth, Wind & Fire for a while. In fact. His name was Gmo. I think you were you here with Gmo, Melissa?
I could have been. Could have
been. Yeah. Well, what happened with Marvin Gaye? We're going back to the old sounds, you know. Again,
oh,
this
yeah.
is Anything Goes Friday. We're going to talk about anything. So if you want to come into the studio, you come into the studio. The number is 319-527-6099. That's where it'll get your voice heard. Anyway, Gmo was really upset with Marvin Gaye died. When Marvin Gaye died.
Mm.
So Gmo, I wonder if he's still in the studio. What the? I think he's gone. Damn it. So he wrote an original song for Marvin Gaye, and I don't have it. It was in the studio for a long time. And he played it on the show. And we missed Gmo. I should call him, get him back on the show. Speaking of that, Hotep. With the old sound. There was a song when Marvin Gaye died. I liked it. Remember? Marvin, he was a friend of mine. Remember
yeah.
that one?
Mm-hmm.
That was the new Commodores. That was not...
Yeah, that was
that's what
yeah.
Hey, how's my memory coming back? How's that?
Yeah,
right?
It's coming back. I'm pleased. I'll tell Malcolm X it's all good. He's back, my brother.
It's all good.
Wakanda forever.
Oh,
what?
It's great to be back. It was scary out there. Woo!
Where did Angela go?
I don't know. She
did she dip out?
She had to do some things. I'm sure she'll come back. The name of the song was The Night Shift. And this was a song. Yeah, this is a song that it was about Marvin Gaye. Talk about a guy
yeah.
who lived a
Marvin,
tragic life, man.
Marvin? Yeah. Yeah. Remember
Melissa?
I had the picture of Oliver, the Marvin Gaye picture?
That's right, you did. You really did.
He had that little knitted hat on his head.
Little
that
Marvin.
Was Marvin Gaye look. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that was a song. Uh-huh. So I'm going to find Gmo. So I guess I can't eat. I think Ellen took it off the show. Wanted to make room for everything else. Here's a song. It's about Marvin Gaye called The Night Shift.
Mm-hmm. He was a friend of mine. Yeah.
You know, I can't, and this is Ricky Nelson. Hold on. Let me get this. I can't get it. Damn. What do you think, Melissa and Hotep? Wait a minute. Hold on. Damn.
Yeah, beautiful song.
This is, I can't get it. Oh, here he is. So, here's a friend of mine. He's a producer, Christian. And then pretty soon we're going to go to the topic. Hang in there, Hotep, because I got a topic for you since you're here. Why black girls don't date black men. We're going to go to that. But anyway, talking about harmonizing, this is a friend of mine. And he's a producer. He came out with a song. We had our music show. His song didn't go anywhere, but I love this song, man. I can't get it out of my head. And it's the same kind of rhythm and harmonic, you know, harmony. Help me out. Harmonize?
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Right.
But this is my friend, Ricky Nelson. And I'm just going to play a little bit. Tell me what you think. Friend Ricky Nelson, the one I was talking about, GMO, is Greg Moore with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Catch Him, he went solo. He has some good solo stuff out there. He's a good friend of the show. He was one of our judges to help new talent move on. I got to reach out to Greg and see how he's doing. But there you go. Some of the music back in the day.
Nice song. Sounded a bit like Michael and DeBarge. Had a good vibe. Very good.
Oh, yeah, it did, didn't it? When they were good. So, you know, relationships.
Oh,
we already talked about Philip. Prince Philip, dead. Dead. Bye-bye.
It's a 99 years, tender age of 99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
99 years old is like, come on. Even Medusa saying, damn, bitch. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. And we're going to mourn him. For what? I'd rather mourn the kid in Chicago who probably just lost his life right now. Let's not get into the politics this Friday.
Oh, God, please.
I mean, what did he do? I mean,
and
what
was
his
shooting?
Job? Yeah.
There was one in, where was it, Texas?
Yeah.
He did 69 with the Queen. That was about it.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. He was the man whore. That's the royal man whore. That was his job. You know, he was the queen's
bitch. Does anybody
bitch.
Know what their real last name is? Trivia.
They change it, don't they? You know,
no.
Like Duke of Windsor.
Were they German?
Mountbatten.
Really? Wait
right?
a minute.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're right, because I think I read that.
That was
yeah.
his name.
Oh, really? Duke of Edinburgh, whatever. Khufu, born. He was, but listen to his life. He was the third cousin of the queen. His father left his family. His mother went to a mental home. And that's the shit. He was 18 and she was 13 when he first met her. What's going on there?
Wow.
What's going on there? You know? Wow. He started wooing her. How do you woo a 13-year-old girl? You're right.
Probably
Lewis
arranged.
Mountbatten.
Yeah.
Encouragement of ambitious uncle. Oh, he had an uncle, Lewis Mountbatten. So, yeah, his last name was Mountbatten. He was killed in a bomb. Elizabeth, around the time of his marriage to Elizabeth in 1947, Prince Philip became a neutralized British citizen and was named Duke of Edinburgh. All right. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson paid tribute to Prince Philip, who has highlighted his work. What was his work? Walking beside the princess, and that's it. Did you see the look of this guy? Didn't he look like he was evil and he was from the dead? I mean, I saw videos of this dude. He looked like a zombie. He didn't even look human. He had
that's
no
what
life.
Incest does that to the genes.
That's what it did.
Jeez.
That's what it did.
She's pretty evil looking.
Yeah. And if he's 99 and she's, what was it, 6 years? Six, seven, eight, nine. She's 5 years. So she, what is she, 94? Three, maybe 94.
She's in
the
youth.
Wow! Look at that. When are they going to get rid of it? You know, I think after she's gone. I think after she's gone, what Harry did. I think they're going to just say, you know, enough of this farce. Nobody believes this. Parliament runs our rules. We're our legislator and the House of Parliament. No, it's a figurehead. It's, you know, fairy tale. We're 2021 now. Who needs them, right? What do you think?
Yeah.
They're
well,
talking
they still,
about this years
in
ago.
Charge of the Church of England, though.
True, true.
And I know
they
the
still
Irish
have connections to a lot of the politicians in one of the houses. So I don't think they'll get rid of it. I think they'll have to modernize and give up some of the racism and sexism and give back some of the diamonds and all those things. I think they'll
yeah.
flip it around
and
maybe they can rescue.
Yeah.
British Columbia, too, in Canada. So they ruled out.
Really? They have influence over British Columbia and Canada?
They
really?
Oh, they are the British Columbia. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay.
And many of the Caribbean nations still have governor generals, and the governor generals report to the Queen, and the defense forces of most of the former British colonies, their commander is the Queen.
Absolutely.
So they're still commanding the Royal Navy and the armed forces, huh? Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where's
okay.
the, what part of the Virgin Islands, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, they divided it between, what I understand,
right.
they divided between us and
British
Britain.
British Virgin Islands and U.S.
Yes.
So who knows what's going on there? Hey, are you guys still afraid to travel? I mean, are you guys, would you travel on an airplane, Hotub and Melissa?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
I don't like
really
to fly.
Right.
But I would. But if I like to, I really hate it. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a death dish. I mean, you're not getting any air.
It always
the air
has
is
been.
Recirculated through the,
But it always has been, right?
Well, now that the COVID is out, I mean, it could be more of a, come on, you know.
Remember I said to you the other day, I had to go into a state building, right? And they made this big rigmarole, taking your temperature and asking all these questions, right? But we were all touching the same doorknobs.
I know.
It's like, what? That's where my mind goes, right?
Mm.
And they were giving you badges to wear, you know, around your neck. And I'm thinking, who else wore this? Did they sanitize everyone?
And look at all the currency we handed around when we, currency, dollars, change. Is anybody in the bank cleaning that money?
Exactly.
You know.
Oh, man, it's a filthy. I don't even use money anymore.
See, money's
I can't
dirty
even,
anyway. Well,
it's
filthy. I love money.
I use the card, but who's saying that card is not filthy? It's plastic. I mean, it can retain.
And somebody,
whole
thing is, seems to be so farcy. That's not really a word, but once you really look around and you're like, this is a effing joke. We look like a bunch of monkeys wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what to think. And like I said.
I even had to put things in a metal detector, right? Like a dish. And I thought, who else touched this? Who else put their hand, right?
Right.
Well, every few years what they do is they need something to put fear into us. It's the Russians, it's the Japanese, it's mumble rap, it's September 11th, it's COVID, it's AIDS, it's Ebola, and it keeps us on our toes. And then they come up with the solution. Not that some of these things aren't killing people, but so is drug abuse, and so are car accidents, and so is heart attacks, so are aneurysms, so is malaria, so is hunger. But they need something they can control, and usually it's built around big pharma or the military-industrial complex. It's never built around education or feeding hungry people. So it's, as usual, follow the money, and you see the BS.
I agree.
Do you guys remember, there's been so many scares. Remember when they said that somebody had gotten in and tainted Tylenol? And you wonder, did Tylenol ever come back from that? Remember that scare?
It did. It did come back. It did come back. I was wondering when they had that toxic shock thing with the hygiene, feminine hygiene. How is that going to work?
You want to know why? Because they designed the tampon that was filled with sponges, artificial, not cotton, because tampons are usually cotton. And they had like a mesh covering over these sponges. So what does a sponge do, right? They're not real.
They absorb.
You're right. But they were artificial.
Really?
So it was, that's what it started. Not regular tampons. It was those.
Wow.
But that scared a lot of women. A lot of women.
What do you do? And going back with that kind of stuff, like you're talking about the government controlling, they've just announced that the government is now taking over the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The government's taking over it now. And here's some true and false stuff. If I don't take the vaccine, I'm at risk for COVID. If I do take the vaccine, I'm still at risk for COVID. Plus, I'm at risk for a permanent vaccine side effect. Therefore, I'm reducing my risk by not taking the vaccine. That's the real science. And according to political fact, they said, no, that's false. Here's why. There's one argument for not getting a vaccine. It goes like this. Even if you get vaccinated, it's possible to get COVID-19. The vaccines can have permanent side effects, so it's safer not to get vaccinated. The argument is
when I really learned this, I had a dog, right? Beautiful dog. Took it to the vets, did everything I was supposed to do. And they said that it needed a Lyme disease vaccine booster, right? 2 weeks later, the dog was nearly dead with Lyme disease, and she lived with it her whole life. And she was very sick. And that was years ago, and it kind of taught me something, right? And she never got over it.
I'm one of those firm believers, too. If it's not broke, don't fix it. See, I'm against the flu shot. So it took me a while to get to say okay to this vaccine, which is still experimental. People don't understand. This is still an experimental drug. It is not sanctioned yet. It's emergency experimental drug. They all are. So yep. I'm one of these people. I don't like to take the flu shot, and I don't. So it took me
I don't think I've ever had one.
Have you? No.
No.
And you know the people who take the flu shots, they usually get sick for about a week after they take those shots.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the science is telling us is this. It shows that if you do take the vaccine, you reduce the chances of getting COVID-19. And if you do contact COVID-19, even after the vaccine, you're less likely to get sick thanks to the work of the vaccine. So that's the facts, Jack.
Well, the problem, major problem they're doing, I'm sorry for interjecting, is that just like excessive use of things to kill germs, the germs mm-hmm. become superbugs. So what they're doing
right.
is creating substances, putting it in us, and then our body builds up immunity possibly, right? Forget the side effects. But then
right.
a new version of the drug comes on that has to be stronger. Secondly, having for-profit hospitalization, having for-profit drugs, the incentive is profit, not the people. Now, if this were not for profit, we would find less expensive solutions to the problems.
Right. And that goes with the same thing back in the 80s and the 90s. Gonorrhea came back, and people forgot about that. And what happened was they found out that the people were getting immune to the antibodies to fight it. So, the penicillin was not working, not curing it, because their body was so used to it, like Lhotep said, had to develop another drug that is even stronger than that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Here's something that scared me. It says, as for permanent side effects, this is an area we're still studying. What do you mean you're still studying? I already took the shot. Did you already study that? We don't know. But they said, at one person said, I think it's a virologist, puts it, the risk is extremely low to point out of almost impossible to measure. So they don't know. They don't know the long-term effect of this.
Nope.
They don't know. They don't know. They don't know if it's going to be permanent side effects. They don't know. The vaccine
they're messing with our genetics, bro. They're messing with
that's
our
what
genes.
I'm with you.
Never
on
before
that.
In history. I mean, there should have been 10 years at least of studies before doing that.
Yes. You're right. You're right. Hey, but maybe it could be a good mess. Maybe I'll develop superpowers. Who knows? I'm looking at the positive. I mean, can all not be negative? There has to be some positive. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll develop this sense of humanity. That taste that it just doesn't sound right go down my throat. Humanity.
Yeah, right. That's not that hard.
Who knows? Well, I will be your lab rat. I will let you know how I feel after a week. I took it Monday. Today is Friday. My arm is, I can still, if I put it over shoulder level, I'm in kind of pain. I can't hardly lift it. Yeah, I can move my arm to shoulder level, and I'm feeling some pain. I don't know how long this soreness is supposed to last, but I do hear that the people with the second dose, it's even worse. I'm hearing headaches and fever and flu-like symptoms, and I'm hearing all this shit. I'm going, damn, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, 2 more weeks for this shit. All right. So I may die, but we all will. Let's see, that's the news. I'm going to go over some other news really quickly, and then we're going to go with the subject, why black women are not dating black men. Black women are saying, hell no, give me white men. Hell no to the black. I'm going to the white. The darkness, I want to see the light. What are the reasons why so many of our black women dating white men? And the white men are saying, I see nothing wrong with it. What's the problem? Once you go white, it's all right.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Did you make that up?
Yes, I did, just on the spot.
There you go. There's another one.
I know. Good morning to Kings of Kings. You have Hotep and you have Melissa in the studio. Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Hotep. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, yeah.
Good morning.
It's the king.
I like that. Your Highness.
Prince Philip is gone. We can now call you Your Highness, you know.
Well, I think Joe is listening, and you guys, if you listen to the show, you notice that there's no Joe. And I know he's listening. Does anybody have a message for
Thanks
Joe?
To me. That'll
is that
bitch.
The Joe that used to get on it with me?
Yeah, yeah, that's the same one.
Yeah, I got a message for him, but I can't say it on air.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. He's an old bitch. How you doing, bitch?
Yeah, Joe.
Oh. Well, there's your message to the fallen homie. King, you're just in time. You're just in time, King. Because
yeah,
we're gonna.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the reason more and more black women are leaving their black men. More and more. It's an exodus. They're going towards white men. Black men are going, all right, bitch, see ya. So why are black women leaving leaving the brothers? Here's one black woman explaining why. See, we need to understand that, because if they're leaving black men, what are we doing wrong? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know what's going on with these black women. I mean, they're leaving good stuff like unemployment.
Police brutality.
Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff. Running away from the cops, jumping over fences. Hey, baby, take the car. Good stuff. So inappropriate.
Yeah.
Why am I still on the air? Well, here we go. Reasons why black women don't date. Oh, wait a minute. No. No, this is the wrong one. This is reason why black women don't date white men. All right, let's play that. Reasons why black women don't date white men, and then I have the other one, why black women don't date black men. But let's hear the white men. They're up first. Let's hear it. This is Brie Kachi. Brie Kachi. K-A-C-H-E. Brie. Her real name is Tammy, but forget that. Reasons why black women don't date white men. Here we go.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to my channel. If you guys have been watching me for some time, you know that I talk a lot about interracial dating and interracial relationships as far as a black woman being in a relationship with a white guy or, you know, whatever have you. But I feel like I've been wanting to make this video for a while, but I've been afraid of how it would come off. But there are reasons why black women choose not to date white men, why they choose not to date outside of their race as a whole. And these are just gonna, I'm just gonna be going down a list of a few, some of the top few reasons why black women choose not to date white men. Reason number one is an obvious one. We don't want to be fetishized or sexualized.
So black men do not sexualize your ass? Huh. Let's look into this a little further. I don't know. Let me see. Black men, why we don't want to be sexualized. Huh. We must look into it a little further, because that is true. We treat our women with respect, with love. We respect our ebony queens. You know what I mean? That's what we do. That's what we do. So I don't know where she's getting that at. Let's see. For the horse.
Certified freak. 7 days a week. Wet ass pussy. Make that pull out game weak.
Let's go to reason two. Keep going. Okay.
I'm just going to be going down a list of a few, some of the top few reasons why black women choose not to date white men. Reason number one is an obvious one. We don't want to be fetishized or sexualized.
Really?
We're more than just a novelty.
Really?
I feel like that's something that a lot of people believe is on a lot of white guys' bucket list or like a checklist, you know, oh, screw a black chick, you know, I mean, like.
It's on my list. I did, number four, right after I eat some pork rinds. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about screwing black chicks 101, because I have, and I screwed them, but they fucked me up. That'll be my new book. Screw black chicks, you get fucked up. Every black man should read that book. I don't know. Here we go. I don't know. We're human beings. Black men, trust me, we sexualize black chicks too. I mean, I just want to hear how some people. I know Hotep, hang in there, but come on, really?
No, it's more than that. We're a lot more than our bodies, and we don't want to be. We want to be more to that than our partner. We want to be more than just what we can provide sexually, as a sexual partner. You know, we want to be a partner in every sense of the word. We want to be in relationships that are healthy, and a lot of women, a lot of black women are afraid to get in relationships with white guys because they don't want to just be, you know, some sort of story that he tells his college buddies, you know, or whatever, you know, like, oh, I had a romp with a black chick, or, oh, my God, I slept with a black chick, and it was this, it was that. You know, we want to be more than just a story or a novelty. We want to be, you know, valued in every sense of the word. Cultural differences. We're afraid of, you know, things that come along with being a black American, certain customs and traditions that we have. We're afraid of them not necessarily getting it, or, you know, being disrespectful in any way, or whatever, you know, like cultural differences, namely being a big one is our hair. Our hair. We're afraid that he's not going to understand natural hair, wigs, weaves, sew-ins, all of that. You know, he's going to ask a lot of questions that maybe we're not prepared to answer, that may put us in an awkward, you know, position, like, oh, why do you guys do this, or why do you guys eat this, why do you guys say this, or, you know, just little things that we do that have been passed down, you know, historically from grandmother to daughter to granddaughter, you know, little things that make us who we are. We're afraid of having to explain our blackness pretty much, and we're afraid of, you know, like swimming or whatever, one of them is. I read the story where this black woman was dating this white guy, and they were like, they were having like a barbecue or something, I don't know, and they were getting in the pool, and she didn't get in the pool, and they're like, oh, can you not swim?
All right, enough of you. I don't swim. I don't believe in it. Black people don't go in the ocean. We know what's in the ocean, and we don't go. We don't need to go out there in the sand and get all tan and everything and get skin cancer. We don't need that. Now, the only time that we do is if we go on the boardwalk, and we may, you know, do that. But there's no reason for us to go on the beach whatsoever. You see a black person on the beach, something's wrong with him. Something's seriously wrong with him. And guess what? I lived on the beach for 10 years. The only time that I went on the beach is to be by myself and drink a 40. Wasn't staying out there to get the cancer. But here's my opinion, because I dated both. Let me tell you the difference between black women and white women. Black women know the game, because black women, chances are, has brothers. They see how they act towards women, and black women get an education about how to be treated, and black women demand respect. Now, this is going to sound racist. I'm going to tell you my opinion, and you guys could contradict that. Now, when I was dating my ebony queen, I will keep her anonymous because she's still looking for me, and I am not going to go to court. Other than that, black women don't play. They don't play. And I feel that white women get sucked up into victimhood when they're dating a black man. I mean, you know, they give it, there's a lot of excuses or behavior. I'll give you an example. This is going to be a sterile, you know, a bad stereotypical example. Let's say you're a black man is unemployed. He's 24 years old, and he's playing Xbox all day. Now, a black woman will not tolerate that bullshit. You know what I mean? First of all, I'm going to wait till my girlfriend goes into out of air. Okay, safe to door shut. Okay. All right, go back to talking. White woman will say, oh, hi, honey, what's going on? Oh, man, there's nothing else. Oh, I understand. And blah, 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 blah. He can run his game on a white woman, and a white woman will kind of give him more allowances. Black women will not put up with that shit. Black women will not put up with that shit. She will say, you got responsibilities, and she will put that responsibility on him. And if he doesn't take that responsibility, he'll go, well, he won't run that game like, well, you know what, I'm just going to leave. Black women go, there's a door. Now, to white women, well, I'm going to leave. Oh, don't leave, honey. Let's just talk this out. All right. Well, you haven't worked since, the 90s. And you're really taking, you're getting your Social Security check. What's going on? Oh, there's nothing out there. Okay. It's your birthday coming. Can I get you a new Xbox game? Now, and I'll be honest with you. Dating white women, she has some legitimacy there. Because in the back of my head is a true thing. It's a true theory. You know what I'm trying to say? The curiosity theory. The true theory. That's always been in the back of my head when I'm dating a white woman. And yes, it is true, and I validate it, and I should get the NAACP award. There you go. So a lot of black men should thank me for these white women saying, it is true. I get no credit, but it's there in silence. So
unappreciated.
It's unappreciated. I should at least get a participation award. Nothing. But yeah, in the back of my mind, as a black man dating a white woman, I do have it. Is it a thing? Is it a fetish thing? Or is it, you know, a sex thing? Because it's sure not a work thing. You're not looking at me and going, we're going to live in a mansion someday. We may live in the parking lot of the mansion, but we're still there in the neighborhood. So we're in the area. I mean, if you're homeless and you're homeless in Beverly Hills, you still live in Beverly Hills. I mean, still count. Melissa.
Well, don't forget, Hammer, a lot of black women may not have the financial solvency of their white counterparts. So if a black woman has $2,000 in the bank, if the man is not generating sufficient funds, they end up homeless.
Right.
The white woman might have $30,000 in the bank and have a bit more liquidity and have parents, one or two, who she could call on. So the dynamic is very different.
Right. And it is about, and I joke a lot about economics, but it is true. I mean, this is not a fallacy. Don't think that black men are lazy and trifling and this, we don't work. It is harder for us to get into an economic situation that what a white woman may be accustomed to or the privilege that allow the opportunities that a white man has. You know what I mean? Even as far as education goes and so on and so forth. But, yeah, the white privilege is there that if I walked in as Brian Johnson or Jackson and there's Biff, Todd Biff is there. I know. I hope to God she didn't hear. But if I walked in there at Brian Jackson and then I got Biff next to me who has glasses and a pocket pretender and we have the same resume – they're going to hire Biff. Because they're going to hire him at the first question, like, well, Mr. Jackson, what up? Mr. Jackson, you're applying for the job. Yeah, I hear. Why do you want the job? Money. Damn money.
Oh,
what do you think I'm here, fool? Now, that's me.
Oh,
no one
my.
Does that.
Yeah. The hell you think I am here for? What the hell you think? Ask me stupid questions for? It's money. And then they would ask Biff, why are you here? Well, I got a resume, and I got 2 degrees in engineering, and I worked all my life, and I'm programmed to do this, and I coded when I was a kid, and I know the terminology and technical work. What about you, Mr. Jackson? I play video games.
Mm-mm.
What about
Mm-mm.
it? Well, Mr. Jackson, do you know about engineering, Erica? I can learn.
That vaccine
Show me what
is
to do. Get a vaccine. I got vaccinated. He didn't. All right, you're hired, Mr. Jackson. So, Melissa, what do you think? I know you never dated a black man, but does that even come to play? I mean, now it's 2021. You're happily married. I understand that. But right now you're the only woman in the studio that I can ask, and you are the Caucasian persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the black man, would there be honest, would there be some questions that you will have in your head? Because you, let's face it, it is a different world. You know it's a different culture. Every culture is different. I
yes.
mean, if I did it in another
yes.
culture, Asian or whatever, I'm going to ask some questions too. But would there be some questions you would have in your mind if you were single and you met a black man and the stereotypes that you may have in your mind you might want answered, what would they be? What would the questions be?
I don't think I'd have any.
Really? My first thing,
no,
even black women
I
say the first thing.
I live with a black man.
Yeah, that's true. But dating is different.
Well, it's not my, you know, it's Jill's boyfriend.
Well, no, I understand
no.
that. But dating is uh-uh. that this man is going to be your future whatever. It could be your future husband or whatever. You're invested into this relationship. So I know the first question a black woman would ask, and I wonder what would be the first question a white woman would ask. I know the first question a black woman would ask. But I wonder if you have a different question. Regarding the stereotypes, it has nothing to do with you, but the stereotypes that you've been hearing and blah, 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 what would be the question in your mind whether to go forward to date a black man?
I don't tell you the truth. I don't know.
Okay.
I think everybody's basically the same, you know. I don't know.
Well, we're not
you
the
mean
same
different
because.
Food or?
Well, no, it's not the same because. Well, the first question a black woman would ask is, "What about your job?" Am I right, Hotep? Am I right, King? Job. What job do you have?
Any yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I right? Didn't Janet Jackson ever talk about job? But.
Do you have a job?
Yes,
that
would be the first question. And it's a good question,
Mm-mm.
too, because, again, you are...
I would not
have
that. I'd already know if they work. I'd already know.
Would you really? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you met somebody,
white women should cut the black men some slack for about 20 years as a part of the deal. I'm just saying.
Really?
No. See, listen, y'all fucked us over for 400 years. I need 20 years. What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I mean, we're trying to get
Kick
over
back.
Something
for 400
Jillian years.
Woman,
what do you expect
of
me? That job
Jillian
I had was on
care
plantation.
Of her boyfriend?
Huh?
More than what? I ever catered to Mike, Jillian really takes care of her boyfriend.
See,
more
that's,
than
that's
I
another
ever.
Thing. And no, don't be afraid.
I don't do that stuff.
That's
I'm not
another
clipping
thing.
His toenails.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
Mm-mm.
Really?
No.
See, that's another rumor that if you date a black man, would you have to take care of him? Because I haven't taken care of no man. He's
she
not going
to
have no job.
She likes to, though.
Mm-hmm.
So. And obviously she's dated white guys, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think brothers
I don't even think about this.
Have had the chance to perfect certain sexual scenarios, and the white guys often have had the chance to perfect accounting and stocks. And so the brother brings to the table something that can't be replaced in the bedroom. And sometimes that trumps the stock tickers.
But what does he bring? Hotep, I'll go to you. What does a brother bring to a relationship? Tell me what he brings.
Generally, a different swagger in the bedroom. Generally, a different type of thinking and physical movement on the street and in corporate settings. And also, often, a different empathy because of what brothers go through. And then it splits off depending on if he's gone to university, et cetera, versus if he took regular blue-collar versus street gigs. And it's a whole different experience that brothers bring to the table, but often a very sexist experience also, just like white men, because we've been conditioned to think the man is over the woman. That comes from Christianity. And, I think we have a lot to offer, but we also need a lot of help that we haven't gotten, emotionally, psychiatric help, and good role models. So we're damaged, but we still got good swagger.
But is that enough?
I got to say, though, you know, we're more alike than you think, because there's a lot of real messed up white men out there, too. Believe me. So, you know what I'm saying? It all stems back, you know, to the way we're raised. So,
yeah, all people in Western capitalistic systems do are damaged, but different people are damaged much worse. If you look at a plantation, the white male was damaged, but not the same as the brother that was lynched or saw his daughter being exploited. So, you know, it's a different level that I think black men
and women
experience.
And that's disgusting. I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting. I don't know. But I hear people say things, you know, and I'm embarrassed. I was embarrassed for all white people when a person came on the show and was not even really knowing how racist they were being, or, you know, separating and thinking they could tell if somebody was black or white by the way they spoke. Do you know what I mean? And that really was like, really, man? Are you kidding me? But there's some people, they don't even know. And the person in the background said, I ain't dating no black man. Well, you ain't getting a white one either, the way you're acting. You're not going to get anybody. Right?
Well, in the 80s,
where I have mixed grandchildren, I'm the perfect person for it, right?
Right.
You know, I want to see these little boys. They're little. One's almost 5 months, and Oliver's two. He's the ultimate two-year-old narcissist. He really is. We're tight. Yeah. I said to Jillian, he's a little narcissist, but they all are at that age. But, I don't know. The whole thing to me, I don't notice anymore. You know what I'm saying? I swear to God, I don't notice. Laverne helped me. In the beginning, I was really afraid that people would say things to them and I was going to flip out. Remember, Brian?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were. You're very protective. Very protective.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I'd, you know, slice somebody's throat, right? But now I feel different. You know what I mean? If somebody's going to be that ignorant, you know, they may get a little bit of a tongue lashing, and you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, I'm pretty relaxed with the protectiveness because of the way they look. I mean, people can tell. Oliver's grown his hair like Shaka Zulu, right? It's always up in the air, and, you know, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And people will stop us and say, oh, I love his hair. You know, he's got really cool hair. I don't know. I just want them to be as loved and accepted as in society as I do, but it's not going to happen, is it? Not going to happen.
I, times are changing. I mean, nowadays it's changing. I mean, you look at Congress, the President of the United States 8 years ago was the most powerful man in the world, he's black. Back in the 80s and the 90s, black was in. I mean, whether it was the curiosity or whatever, anything black people did was cool. They even dressed like us, been like us. Hell,
right.
Kardashian ripped us off so much that she has more black in her than anything. I mean, her butt,
exactly.
Even got butt injections.
In more ways than
have
one.
Have a bigger ass. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We can go through history with the collagen lips that all of a sudden white girls wanted these big, beautiful,
big lips.
Full lips. And they paid for it.
Wigs,
I remember I was with
a lot of women.
Wigs.
Weaves. A lot of white women
getting
their
hair. Oh, yeah. White girls
now.
Are corn rolling their hair.
Mm-hmm.
They got the corn rolls going on. I remember I was with my mom one time. She was really first time I ever seen her get mad in public. We were in a store. And this white woman had an afro, what she could do with it. And my mother goes, that's it. And I go, whoa, Mom, what's that? We can't have anything. Now they're taking our hair. Look at this. You know what I mean? I go, Mom, calm down. You know, that's one thing we had was our hair.
Yeah.
So the black
and hair
culture,
that requires a lot of special care, which I'm learning. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you something, Melissa, and if any black white guy ever hears me, if you got to do this one time in your life, you have to experience this. And white women, you have to experience this. White women, I just one time go to a black beauty shop. Just one time. White men, just go to a black barber shop. Just one time. You will never be the same. It's an experience that you would not live down. You know what I'm talking about, Hotep and King?
Yes, better than
I
Disney
mean,
World.
Julian used to go all the time to the black barbershop.
Oh,
and you know they used to turn at night, they used to have parties there?
Yeah. it is just, you just don't want to leave. That's why people are there for hours, man. You just don't want to leave.
Yeah.
It's just an experience.
Yeah.
And, I used to get my hair done, and you go to a black beauty parlor. Oh my God, it's something else. It's just an experience. I can't even describe it. You got to do it at least once in your life. Just do it. You will thank me later. These are black men talking about why do black men.
You know
men
what I've got to say?
Yeah.
One thing I have noticed about black men is that they really take care of their appearance more than white men.
Okay.
The ones that I've met.
And
you're
not afraid to dance with them at a wedding.
Their skin.
That's for sure. But you're right.
Yeah.
No, here's what black, I'll give you as a black man, and just as just me, what I bring, and I do represent the black man, and I'll tell you why. Because I was raised by a black woman. You know what I mean? Mama raised me right.
Mm-hmm.
Did I always listen to what Mama said? Mm-mm. Because she said stuff like, you better respect the women. What? Never mind, boy. And from there, it went downhill.
Yeah.
Went downhill.
I can see how.
But respect, if you get into the black culture, respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, is very high on the bar. And that's one thing I'm going to give black men is respect. Love, black men do love their families, and they will die for their family. I'm not saying white men don't. I'm just telling white women.
No, I think you,
you know,
right.
The insight. I'm not saying what I'm saying doesn't, it's not opposite of white men. I'm just saying what black men bring to the table. Respect,
Well remember, there's a deep historic aspect, I'm sorry. During slavery, we saw our daughters taken. We saw our sons taken, some of us. So epigenetically, we have been triggered when someone threatens our children, our lady, our lives. We go over the top. For some white men over the past 400 years, they may not have had their people lynched and hanging, other than the Irish a few hundred years ago in, you know, Britain. So we have a legacy, and that legacy, some of it is good and some of it is painful, and a lot of PTSD that, you know, also comes to the table.
That's true.
Hotep, do you think that things get imprinted in DNA? Experience?
Yes.
I do too. Think on that one.
I know. I'm pondering now.
Mr. Johnson.
Hey, you. Mr. Johnson. But, We bring
to me,
dedication.
A person is a person. There's a lot of shitty white people out there. Believe
but there's
me.
A lot of. But there's
I've
a
met
lot
them
of
all.
DNA, I know. I don't know if a person is. I mean, no white person is absolute. There's no black person absolute.
Oh, no.
But there's still the stereotypical things out there that there's a lot of white. I have seen on Facebook. I hear people talk, and I'm saying, well, she has to be black. I go, damn, blonde and blue. And I'm hearing her go, I'm not taking that mess. I can't take this. I'm not feeling you, boo. And I'm going, okay, this must be Shanique. You know, and it's Brittany. You know what I mean? I'm going, whoa,
yeah.
Brittany.
Exactly.
Yeah, you feel
but
me.
But, hey,
don't you,
you know.
Yeah.
You know what? What is it they say? What's the highest form of flattery? What is it? Imitation, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, look at it that way, right? Yeah.
But a black man, I'll tell you. I'll tell you that a black man is more sensitive than a white man. That's what I'm going to tell you right there. But go ahead, Hotep. What were we going to say?
Well, what I find personally is that because of the way I communicate, especially if people haven't seen me, a lot of 99% of the white people I encounter expect a coon of sorts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find out that I actually critique and analyze and speak up for black people and marginalized communities, most of the relationships go down the toilet. So I've found more of that from the white male. Yeah, I had a deal recently, and I spoke up to the guy very politely, and he hasn't called back. The white female tends to be able to handle those critiques better when I encounter them. And the white males get a bit like, oh, my goodness, how do you – and they don't say it, but the relationships just end. Out of 100, one works with a white guy. So it's every about 10
That's
years
interesting.
One white guy. Yeah, it's very – but the white women, I can meet 100 and about 20 will work out for, you know, not sex. I'm talking just general discussion.
Friendship or professional.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I do. I get it, you know. I don't know. But like you were just saying, you know, I mean, I think it's more about building up rather than tearing down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Saying positive things about black men and women rather than, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of tearing them down.
Right. And
where that's been going
women,
on and on and on.
Right.
You know?
I had a topic last week called Black Bitches Need Stitches.
Oh, you got in a lot of trouble for that.
I did. As well as I should, because that's what I do.
Yep.
I want that. I'm not saying
because
I want
was
people
so mad
to.
At you.
Oh, Laverne! Oh, she was. I have never heard her so mad. She was mad. But my point, what it is that I still regret that title. I'll tell you the truth, it took me 24 hours. I was still debating to put that up there, but you know.
That you
black
should have known
women.
Better when you had 24 hours of it bothering you.
I know. I was just I go, oh, fuck.
I know.
But black women, man. Now, black women, and I got Hotep here. I got King here. Now, I dated many black women. I'm giving you my references. I was raised by a black woman. My dad cheated on a lot of black women, so they came into the home. Thank you. So I do have experience with black women. And black women did not like me. Black women do not like me. They did not like me. I did not fit. It was a story. My brother, he was in Washington, D.C. He was like, at the time, 24. There was a house fire going on. Everybody was outside. And my brother goes, it seems like there's a fire, and it might be a little bit, you know, he was talking this kind of language. I must ponder this fire, and it could be a very dangerous. So it was this black woman that went up to his face and says, "You're not a foul. You're not from around here, are you?" You know, because he didn't. Like, you know. So my problem is that my mother sent us. She wanted no. She didn't want no educated niggas in the house. She says, "You ain't gonna be no uneducated fools." Then she sent us to the library. She put us. We went to ballet thing, and we were the only black people here. I go, Mama, we're the only black people here. Shut up, fool! You're getting ballet.
Okay. Oh, you went to ballet. Hated
yeah,
it.
Yes.
Did you see him?
We did. We had our bow tie. We had our bow tie, and we had our suit. We looked like, you know, Muslims. You know, little glasses on.
Yeah, Nation of Islam.
Yeah, it's like, I'm surprised.
I enjoy my black friends.
Yeah,
and everybody's
I'm
different. I do. I love
they were.
I do. They're, you know,
I'm surprised that nobody
so
asked
different.
Us.
The food. Go ahead.
Any culture. Any culture is different. In fact, but we don't have culture food. I mean, we come from different, you know, like I was going to finish my story. When I was a kid, I was surprised nobody asked me for a bean pie because I look like a little Muslim kid. But the thing about it is we have no culture food, Hotep, King. I mean, we don't come with the Irish, you know, the Irish stew or the Irish this or the Mexican whatever, because we were slaves. The food that
we come with chitling, pig guts,
right,
and all the work,
you know,
and we turned
and people
into
were
the,
thinking,
what we eat today.
Right, and Hotep, tell us where, when people say, well, chitlins are black food, Hotep, King, tell us where chitlins came from, why
that's
it's not a black food.
The intestines of the pig. The
right.
slave master didn't want to eat certain things. The snout of
yep.
the pig, the ears of the pig, the pig toes, the pig intestines, and he gave it to the slaves, he and his wife, and we learned
mm-hmm.
to clean it and cook it, and we had no choice. Eat that or starve.
Out
and
of necessity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So yeah. this is a little education. So when white people say, well, chitlins are black soul food, chitlins are not no soul food. You know what I mean? And what Hotep just said, the education is that the intestines or whatever gross that the white people didn't want to eat, they throw it to the slaves, and then we had to learn how to survive on it. But we really don't have a culture food. We're not Jamaican. We're not Haiti. We're not from Haiti. I don't know South African from East L.A. to Beverly Hills. I know nothing about African food. And if you, and the closest food that I ever ate that I call African food was not Jamaican, but the other maybe Caribbean food
Any?
That's out there. I had some
Bahamas.
Right, Bahamas food, and I had some Haitian food. That's the closest that I think I could come to Africa, and Haitian food is probably totally different than African food. We have no food. Think about it. Fried chicken is not... Yeah.
And Puerto Rico are some of the regions that kept a bit of the African food and soul and drumming. Most of the other regions took the Spanish food, the British food, et cetera, the French food, and forgot the Yoruba food and the Zulu and all the Ashanti. And so we're basically black, white people eating slave food and talking English language without an understanding of our history. Therefore, we don't know where we're going.
You know, that's correct, because we call the thing, we used to call soul food, you know, soul food. But when you look at what is soul food? Fried chicken? That's not really, fried chicken, ribs, pork. And, what is soul food? You know what I'm saying to say? And grape juice? We can't bring any culture to the dining table. We have no culture. I asked King, what's your favorite meal? What is your favorite meal?
I like the collard greens and
collard greens.
You know, the chicken and chicken and the sweet potato yams, you know. Chicken yams.
Yeah. You know where collard greens came from? But again, I mean, you want to call? I don't want to go into politics like a slave food or whatever. Remember Auntie Fisa and that she made a sandwich, and that guy goes, "Oh, that's prison food." Ain't no prison food, nigga. Prison food.
Thank you.
Collard greens. So there's no such thing. I'm just trying to tell people there's no such thing as black food. Because we did not bring that culture here. We did not bring that culture here. We have a lot of South. We have a lot of South influence because of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Was it West Virginia where the slave ships are, or was it Virginia? I don't remember. But we have a lot of Southern influence. But we don't have our own food.
Hey, Wilhelma, that's if we identify black as only North American black, but if you identify black as blacks in the diaspora, we do have a food. It's just that blacks in America, Canada, and the Caribbean don't identify with Africa, therefore they eat slave food and food from white, Spanish, and French, whereas in Africa they have fufu and other foods. In Haiti they have a lot more black diet, and even in some parts of Puerto Rico and Cuba, especially where you find voodoo, salsa, and palo, and Odisha worship. Yeah. And voodoo and obia.
Right. You know.
But Jamaican food, it's different. You know what I mean? But then somebody was explaining to me some of the people live in the mountains and some people live near the ocean. So they eat differently, too, than each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And they eat breadfruit, which is really good. I don't know if you've ever had that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Going back to what King said, he like collared his collard greens. King, did you know that's not black food? Did you know that food originated from Greece? Greeks made that food.
So
collard green is Greek food, but it's like, but it wasn't until the first African arrived in Jamestown, Virginia, so it was Virginia, that America got its first taste of the dark green leafy vegetable. But it came from Greek. It came from Greek.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Isn't that interesting?
You're educational
the origin
today.
Of the...
I'm glad you came on.
I'm sorry, kiddo?
You're educational today. I'm glad you came on.
Oh, thank you.
The
thank
vaccine
you.
Is working.
You're welcome.
The vaccine is working. It has to have some positive, right? I know
yeah, some positive.
Negative.
Hey.
It has to have some positive.
Absolutely.
Wow. How about black eyed peas?
Yeah.
Anybody? Black eyed peas, where did that come from?
Probably United Kingdom.
It sure did. Sure did. Yeah. So we're going here. Let's see, 912. Is that my
Laverne Bernie?
Is that my Laverne Bernie?
Yeah.
I always get the nines. Now, Laverne said earlier that she's on the run. She's on the road. She may not be able to talk, but I'm going to open the mic to see if she has a break. Laverne Bernie?
Yes, and I'm back.
Welcome back, sweetheart. Laverne, we have Hotep, we have King, and we have Melissa.
Hello, Hotep, King,
hey.
Melissa, and Brian.
Hey.
Hello.
But look, I was wondering when you were talking about the soul foods, what about pig feet, pig tails?
Good at pigs. Good
balls,
one. Pig feet.
Chitlins.
Well, chitlins came from, and Hotep said it correctly, came from, that's just the stuff, the intestines from the pig that they threw to the slaves is something they don't eat. And that's
right.
How chitlins got started.
That's how it got started, but it's still considered in the category of soul food, too.
See, that's
how
thing.
It got started,
is it,
yeah.
Mm. Okay. Did you know collard greens came from Greece?
No, didn't know that.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
So, let me see where pig's feet came from.
Necessity.
Guess what pig's feet, did you know that? See, now you're thinking, where did pig's feet, you're thinking that was a slave thing, right? Maybe it's just one of those things, it's a slave thing, again, that master didn't want to eat, so it's like, here, you have to feed the pig, whatever. It's a Norwegian. Mm-hmm. It's Norwegian. Pig feet is Norwegian.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
But there's a difference between people eating pig feet in some other parts of the world versus a slave master not wanting the pig feet, the tongue, the nose, and giving it to the slaves, and us eating it. We're not Norwegian, typically. So we still got it from the same negative experience, which is what the slave master didn't want to eat.
True. But did you know that pig feet was a pre-Christmas dish? They had it for Christmas. It was like when we have Thanksgiving for turkey. Pig feet was a Christmas dish. And it said because the pig was slaughtered before Christmas, everything was used, so it was a Christmas dish before. And what are pickled pig feet? How they got that was it's a type of pork associated with cuisine of the southern United States, Mexican. Chinese, and Scandinavian. So if you thought pickled pig's feet was soul food, you're wrong. It was the Mexican, Chinese, and Scandinavian cuisine. It's pickled pig feet. How's that?
Okay. Huh. I've never eaten them.
Oh, it's good. Oh, God.
Mike likes them.
You know, it was two. There's three meals that that you don't go out on a first date. The number one meal is neck bone. You don't order neck bone at first because everybody knows if you eat neck bone, all you're hearing is, you know, you're hearing that. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. And you lose your mind. You lose your mind.
Or in Laverne's case, it would be crab legs.
Crab legs. That's a crab legs. You have to be in that culture for crab legs. Like I know in Maryland, I only know the Maryland culture. I don't know the Virginia culture.
Remember when you called her and she didn't answer the phone because she was eating crab? That's when you don't call Laverne if
you
she's got crab.
And when you're at a crab fest, there's no conversation going. All you hear is. That's all you. That's all you hear. If anybody's talking, you get your ass beat.
Yesterday.
That's all you
my
hear,
husband
man.
Eats all of that. It's amazing as a white guy. And my kids have always had it. He loves it, and my kids like it.
But
oh, I
don't
like
the first
that.
One. I want the next.
Dozens white people like it too.
Real
country people.
White
people.
Now the country folks. And I could only know that by my aunts who live in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, dinner, I could only speak in my opinion. Dinner is a serious business at the dinner table. It's serious business. You don't mess around at the dinner table with your country folks. And there's rules and there's politeness and all this shit that goes with it when you eat with a country girl. And believe it or not, they do have this higher level of politeness when you're at the dinner table. Am I right? Laverne, I mean, I'm going old school with the elbows off the table. So on and so forth.
Be
formal
from the table.
Be excused from the table.
Yeah, they
got some rules, and the country folks got some rules. You know what I mean? And they're high grade, and they're really higher level rules at how you behave at the dinner table. There are certain conversations that does not go at the dinner table when I was a kid. You know, you don't talk about that at the dinner table. We'll beat your ass later, Brian. All right. Thank you, Grandma. But that's how it was. Country folks, you don't mess with them at dinner time. So there you go. And I see by the time.
I just called Jillian in to answer questions. She didn't hear what we were talking about. But can you? Okay, Jill. What's your favorite part of the turkey that your dad makes?
I don't know, the neck.
Did you hear it? The neck.
Mm-hmm. Why? But the neck, I don't get it. Why? I mean, isn't it dry?
No. It's really moist. Have you ever had one?
I don't like the taste of it unless how you cook it. I mean, what does he do? I mean.
My dad does butter and Lowry's.
Butter and
really?
Lowry's seasoning. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really good.
She's the first one.
I just cooked some yesterday. And
did you really?
I really used salt, pepper, garlic powder, and with seasoning salt and pepper.
Yeah, the Lowry's.
Really? That's the first thing I throw out is the neck. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Not in this house. I don't know. She's right on it.
That can be my only meat on the plate.
Sometimes.
And she'll strip that thing. Oh. Loves it.
I don't understand. I don't. All right. I'm going to look at recipes for turkey next, but I don't think you're going to convince me.
Just do it like Laverne just told you.
I heard.
You don't want to make it crazy.
Not making it better. Mm-hmm. Just someday.
And you can add it, Brian. Add it in. You can add it in cabbage. You know, with cabbage and white potatoes.
Well, here's some, well, that's true. Here's some recipes. I'm not going to go through it. I'm just going to read it. I think, here you go. They have neck pudding. What the hell is turkey neck pudding? Ew. They got turkey neck soup. They got turkey neck gravy. They got pudding with turkey. Turkey neck gumbo? Seriously? I think Melissa could probably get into that one. They have Jamaican
gumbo?
Browns.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like
oh, you
that.
Don't? They no. have Jamaican
I don't
brown
like any of that
stew.
Creole food.
Do you really?
I'm sorry.
You might like
no,
this
I'm
one.
Sure.
This mm-hmm. one is a Jamaican brown stew with a turkey neck in it.
What is the brown stew, Jillian? What is that Jamaican stuff where they were brown? Browning. What is it? Because you do chicken that way, browning chicken.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
They use
it
in everything, she said. Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'll go for it one time. I'm getting crazy. All right,
try
everybody.
It.
We're going to – I will. I will. I'm going to read some recipes. Some of
it
looks good.
You can put it in your stuffing too, Brian.
Yeah. My mother used to do that in the giblets. Oh, God, no, please.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep, and your stuffing.
I don't like that. Yep. It's, and in the gravy.
Brian, before we conclude, the fact that lots of our black food, soul food, comes from slavery doesn't mean that
right.
the pig and those animals didn't exist prior to that. It just means that the connection to us and most of these foods and our soul food come from the plantation and the limited food options that the slave master and mistress gave us. But I'm sure Norwegians and other people also had pigs and chickens, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
But because we in America, and I'm saying we in America, Americans are very ignorant about the rest of the world. We're kind of... What's the word I want to use? We have the...
Xenophobic?
Yeah, we don't know much about the rest of the world. We just think this is the greatest country. We don't need to go anywhere else. This, we know everything. I mean, Americans are kind of fixated on that. Do you guys agree? I mean, the cuisine about China and Jamaica and other countries, the Caribbean cuisine, Haiti cuisine, we're not too... we'll stick with our potatoes, our meat and potatoes, which is Irish food. I don't know. I should explore.
I like all different kinds of food. I like to try it.
Okay.
So.
Yes, but, a lot of people do. A lot of people do, Brian. But there's just some people that they're going to stick with what they know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to give you some African dishes.
Okay.
Just for education, we try to do things on this show. And this is starting to look good, too. Have you guys ever heard of North African fish stew? Where is North Africa? North African fish? Where is North Africa? I don't know.
Libya, those Muslim black nations.
Oh, okay. Yay. Well, this is North African. I don't know.
Yay.
Yay for us. Fish stew. Fish stew. I never heard of fish stew. It looks good. Her name is Kat Kora. Moroccan spice stew is great. Showcase for the African dish. Oh, don't look too good. But here's what's in it. Olive oil, golden raisins in stew, really?
Oh.
Red onions. Salted cashews, roasted one bell pepper. Where's the meat? Stock.
Fish.
Oh, yeah. 1.5 pounds of catfish, or I don't know what this other one is. Is it tilapia?
Tilapia.
Oh,
tilapia. Yeah. And that's it. If you like catfish and tilapia.
Laverne and I don't eat tilapia anymore.
Really?
Ever.
What's going on with that? What's going on with that?
Tell him, Laverne.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm not listening.
I think if you look on the ingredients on the back. I think it's carbon monoxide is in it.
Mm-hmm.
What? Really?
They feed it's a farm raised fish that we get, and they feed them pellets that are crap. You don't eat tilapia. Mm-mm.
Wow.
I used to eat it all the time. because it, you know, it was affordable. It was, you know, you could do different stuff with it. You know, it holds up well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't touch it, not anymore.
Well, then that's off my list.
Don't buy it.
I won't buy it. I'm not buying no tilapia. Well, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
The top 10 African dishes that you probably never heard of, but you should eat. And I'm looking at the picture, and yum. Here we go. Number 10, Bobuti. B-O-B-O-T-I-E. Bobuti. Sounds African, right? Bobuti.
Mm-hmm.
Every African wants to get some Bobuti for the weekend. Sorry, Laverne. Come on, Laverne. Give me a break.
That's what King's going to get tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Brian want to order a pound.
I will. Bring me some Bobuti. I want more Bobuti. You know I would. Don't even open that gate. Well, here we go. Bobuti, if you don't know, is a South African dish. It's a casserole made from ground beef or lamb, herbs, spices, curry powder, fruits, and a finish of golden brown egg custard that is scented with cinnamon or nutmeg. And if you really want to get a kick to it, put a missionary in there and put him in a pot. All right, I'm kidding.
No, that sounds really good, though.
Sacrifice, what? My people.
I know,
you need a white man.
No, go ahead, Melissa. But it looks good. It looks good.
I would eat that. You know what it reminds me
too.
Of? Shepherd's pie.
The white man?
You know? No. I don't know if he tastes.
He tastes like
pork, but I do like
pork.
Make
sure you don't
turn
up the flame on the white man. He kind of burns quickly. Okay, yeah, I know, Melissa. You got to simmer him.
Wakanda forever.
Exactly. But you know what? You're right. It's a casserole. I would eat it. Number 10.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Number 9. This looks good, too. Pastilla. P-A-S-T-I-L-L-A. Pastilla.
Pastilla.
Okay. Oh, have you heard about it?
All right.
It looks good. That looks like shepherd pie to me. That kind of looks like shepherd pie. Because, there's pigeon in it. Shit.
Ooh.
There's pigeon in it. Oh, Mike Tyson's going to be pissed. Well, here we go.
Oh.
It's the rich, sweet, and savory pie is filled with unusual mix of pigeon or chicken meat. There's eggs, there's almonds, cinnamon. It is commonly prepared for a special event such as holiday weddings and parties. Poor pigeon. Ooh. Number 8, peri-peri chicken, P-E-R-I, P-E-R-I, peri-peri chicken. These are African dish from South Africa. This looks excellent. Peri chicken.
And Mozambique.
How did you know that? How did you know that, Hotev?
Hey, he's psychic, bro. I told
you. How did you know that?
You thought I was kidding.
No, you're right on. It's grilled or roasted chicken that is often served with a creamy and spicy coconut sauce before grilling. The meat is traditionally marinated with cumin. I always get caught up in that word.
It's the shot.
This guy can't help it, can he?
Cumin.
Oh, my.
Cumin, my cookie show. Hey, put some cumin in there. Just a second. No, dude. I should get my cookie show.
And some big booty.
With some big booty. I'm cooking some booty.
Yeah.
I would like to order the big booty, please, and some cumin. To go.
Oh, man. So the cumin or cumin.
He'd probably
garlic,
do it in the Chinese restaurant, too.
That's true.
Cream of some young, yeah.
Oh, cream of I'll take the Epstein platter. Epstein, yeah, the cream of some young guy. Paprika, lemon juice, bird's eye chili. Bird's eye chili? Have anybody heard of bird's eye chili before? Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Nope.
Bird eye chili. should Google that. It's made with bird's eye chili, giving a chicken a unique flavor. Interesting. Did not know there was one. Number seven. Kunafa. Kunafa. K-U-N-A-F-A-H. Kunafa. Kunafa. K-U-N-A-F-A-H. Now, this dish is actually from Africa, but the people in Israel love the dish too. And it's shredded and buttered. Oh, boy. Nobody cares about it. I only got 90 seconds. God, 90 seconds go so fast on this show. Let me see. I can't get in the show here. Let me see what I can do here, because I'm not done with the top 10, because these are good dishes. What do you think, Laverne? You think some of these dishes might... I mean, some of them sound good. Number six, hummus. Now, I thought hummus was from the Middle East, but it's also an African dish. Hummus. I don't quite like hummus, but somebody does. Chicken. T-A-J.
I love it.
Do you really? You would have to get an acquired taste for hummus. Really?
No, it's delicious.
Really? Okay. Chicken. T-A-J-I-N-E. Tahini?
Say that again.
Anyway. T-A-J.
Spell that.
T as in Tom. A as in Alex. J as in Jennifer. I-N-E.
Tajine.
Tajine. Oh, look at you, Melissa. Tajine.
It's the way they cook the... It's a tajine is the way... It's a clay that they cook on.
Right. It's a traditional Moroccan dish.
Yeah.
Chicken. Did you know that chicken is part of every meal? I mean, it's part of this meal. I don't know. Isn't it... There's a theme here about chicken and pigeons. Chicken, preferably boned, bone in chicken cuts, such as leg, thighs, or drumsticks. Like other tagine dishes, this chicken variety is also prepared in a cooking vessel. Not so much. Oh, now here we go.
By the way, that one comes from Muslims, the Berbers.
Is that what it is?
So when they were conquered.
Yeah.
Really?
The Muslim thing. A lot of Africa, just like America, when we were converted, the slave masters gave us certain dishes, and, you know, we continued eating.
Here's one.
I want to ask Hotep, what is the name of that black chicken that they had in New York?
Oh, I know what you mean. I don't eat it, but I know what you mean.
Okay.
Well,
the
for today, it's probably called Stanley.
Oh, God.
That vaccine
chicken
is really working.
I know it is. How dare you, Laverne? You're such a nice person. Black chicken
what do I do?
In New York.
Yeah.
You know, bringing up the black chicken and, you know, Stanley. I never
you
heard of black
you
chicken.
You brought up Stanley.
I never heard of black chicken.
In different shops,
A black chicken?
You mean
chicken?
The skin is black, right?
Yeah, the skin is black.
Yeah.
And they hang them right in front of the store, inside the store.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never had it.
I've never heard of that.
Is it Asian, maybe?
Is it?
I've never seen
it.
It looks grilled, right?
Yeah.
Number four. I don't know.
I love Brian. A tagine?
I have no idea. Number four. It's called Bray or Braai. B-R-A-A-I. It's from South Africa. Now we're getting into it. It's on a grill. And I look at it as chicken and ribs, but that name Braai, Braai or Bray, is a South African term for barbecue. And you could barbecue sausage or a steak, but you also could throw in brine with friends. There is no real brine without the fire and isn't considered a brine if the meat is cooked on gas or grill. So meaning that to make it a brine, it has to be cooked outside as a barbecue. If you put it on your stove, it's not a brine.
By the way, it's not black South African. It's white South Africans that do the brine.
Mm. Thank
and
you.
It probably is eaten by some blacks also. Yeah. Probably.
Thank you.
Still African, I guess. No way.
You're right. But if you're interested in the brine, like I know Hotep is, the selection of meat typically includes steaks. What's B-O-E-R-E-W-O-R? Where are the brohors? Bro, I never heard of this. B-O-E-R-E-W-O-R-S. What is that?
Oh, I heard
a sausage.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's some kind of beef, right?
It's a sausage. I have no idea.
Okay.
Hmm.
Never eaten it.
You cook kebabs, and I don't know what this other one. S-O-S-A-T-I-E-S? Melissa Sositis? Don't know what that is. And it's marinated pork, chicken or lamb, chops with fish, and crayfish are more popular in the coastal region. Crayfish, is that popular in Maine, Melissa? Crayfish?
No.
I never heard of that.
That's Louisiana. We don't eat that.
Oh, you're right. That might be in Louisiana. Okay. Right. All right.
Mm-mm.
And we're getting close. Number two, missionary soup. I'm only kidding.
Oh, that's yours all the way. There you go.
You got your family.
Yeah. Come vacation.
Read them the Bible.
Come vacation, white people. Come to Africa.
Come.
Come.
Missionary soup.
We got seasoning. Come. C-O-U-S. C-O-U-S dish. I don't know how to pronounce
couscous.
It. Couscous.
Right?
Right. Very good, Melissa. Couscous.
I eat all different kinds of food.
Right. Couscous. It's a tender, light, tender grains from a pyramid and served on
it's
a platter at the end of the
pasta
meal.
Like the balls. It can be.
Yeah, I'm looking
big
at
as a
it.
Pearl.
Ew, yeah. Yeah,
oh, my
not
God,
for
it's
me.
Delicious.
Not for me. Not
Has anybody
for me.
Ever had couscous?
No.
I love it.
No.
Really?
Really.
Where have you been your whole life? Eating hamburgers?
That's right. I'm telling you, I am so ignorant about food. I am so ignorant about food. If it's not within 10 miles of my area where I could drive through, I don't care. I don't think about it. But this is interesting.
Oh,
did you know that Seminella flour?
Oh, my God. Semolina.
Have you ever heard of that?
Semolina.
Huh?
Yes, that's how they make pasta, semolina flour.
Oh, don't go with the Seminella. That's not good. Go with the semolina. I'm going to get to that Seminella flour here. What y'all got?
Give me some of that.
It's right next to the cupboard. What's wrong with you, fool? I got a dish. And bring that white boy over here. I'm gonna simmer him.
This was a missionary.
12 hours.
Yeah.
Really.
With his
and
human
booty.
Common.
Yeah. I ordered your booty. Big ass booty over here. We're gonna barbecue.
Come here, girl.
Yeah, we're going African. I don't know, couscous. It's the flour that Melissa said is sprinkled with water until it forms into tiny pellets that are pushed through a sieve. Couscous is usually prepared on Fridays for lunch when the whole family gets together for a most important meal of the week. The dish is traditionally made in a metal steamer pot called the couscousiner. I didn't know they had a special pot for it. Where the stew is at the bottom, where the small grains are the on top of the basket, and that's how you cook couscous. These are some of your African dishes that you may not be aware of that you're eating that are from Africa. And the number one African dish is what Melissa said before. T-A-G-T-A-J-I-N-E.
A tagine
is the number one. That's it. That's the
like
number one
vagine.
Dish.
A tagine.
Like a vagine. Yeah.
But this is how your mind works.
I know.
You'll remember that.
I will order it too.
Oh.
I will order it.
I've been around this guy for too long. I really
exactly.
have been.
It's rubbing
I'm
off.
Getting to know everything.
It's rubbing off. Oh, bring me that machine here. And where's my big booty? Yeah. What the hell is going on here? I've been waiting for 10
minutes.
Missionaries.
And yeah, that missionary
eating right out the door. That was my food.
I want some coming on it, too.
I know. I want some coming on it. Damn you. And I guess here I'll be dating Laverty going, this is not the dish I expect. I think I'm going to leave here, baby.
Yeah. You know, if you
I'm going back to my
me,
crab legs.
I'll be eating the same foods you used to.
That's true.
I ain't ordering no stuff.
Don't do ordering no stuff. Oh, yeah. I can
hey,
see
bro,
it now.
You know
try to be
some
a...
of that Italian-Americans eat Italian foods, Chinese-Americans eat Chinese foods, Korean-Americans. Everyone eats the foods from their motherland except African-Americans and Caribbean-Americans. We don't know the African foods. We can't even count to 10 in an African language. And that may be a part of why we're disconnected from ourselves.
It's because we don't put enough African chefs on TV. It's as simple as that. We don't, you know, I don't know how many African chefs are on YouTube. I haven't searched it. But, you know, you get this, are they really? Because I should search it. I should put that on. Because the African chefs do not get the limelight. As the Pierre from, everybody thinks, oh, you got to go to France and Italy for the best chefs. So I think that's what it is. We have some great African chefs.
Well, if people aren't eating African foods, the African chefs will get no love. But everyone's eating Italian food and, you know, Spanish food and British food. So, of course, those chefs and languages get the love, and the colleges teach culinary classes in Italian foods, but not African foods. Italian language, not African, Roman nuances, Greek, but not African languages.
A lot of people don't even understand that people from the Caribbean have African. They're African. You know what I'm saying? I was watching this YouTuber. He's talking about Kamala Harris. And he said, she ain't black. She's from the Caribbean. She ain't no African.
Mm.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
They don't. They think they're just Caribbean. They're island people. They're not African.
They forget that most
they
of
don't
the slaves
know.
Went to Brazil and many to the Caribbean. And it was their mother, their father, their grandmother. But yet, they're not down with us because we're on the American plantation.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even know. It's like, really?
Well,
how did their skin get that color? Their hair. Well, are you kidding me?
Right.
There's no differential. They don't know. A lot of people don't know.
And Melissa, you brought up a good thing, and why Melissa brought it up, we try to teach you educational stuff on here. And if you listen to the show for educational stuff, you are really more of a moron than you think you are. But once in a while, we'll give you some information. Here's this guy. Because we're going to give some love, and you're right. You're right, Hotep, and you're right, Melissa. He's a young African chef. It's only 5 minutes because we don't know anything about African chefs, right? So let's give him some love.
I think there's one famous one. And he has to do with the Food Network. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Oh,
yeah,
he's,
I do.
You do?
Really?
He's slender.
Mm-hmm.
He's very. He's attractive. You know what I mean? I forgot his
name too, Melissa.
But is he a real African?
He's like yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
All right.
An amazing, amazing chef. But he's like, you guys are right, that to really showcase, he's like the only one. You know?
Right. Well, this guy, his name is Senegal, S-E-N-E-G-A-L. He'll probably say Senegal, whatever. He's from West Africa. He's a real African. He's authentic African. and he is going to talk to you for about 3 minutes. What meal is he talking about? He's a line cook at Commander's Palace in New York City. When he was 5 years old, he was sent to a boarding school in Senegal, where his parents were born. He didn't return to the United States. So he, I don't know if he's really, does he qualify as an African? Okay, let's see what we got here. Does he? Okay, here he goes.
Marcus Samuelson.
The only thing I care about is the guest, because when the dish reaches the guest table, I want that just to represent Tureen. I want that just to represent Senegalese cuisine. I was born in New York City by the age of 5 years old. My parents.
He was born in New York City. Does this still qualify as an African? Really? Are we moving the line? He was born in New York City. He went to boarding school.
That's not motherland. Marcus Samuelson is the guy that's on the Food Network, and he was born in Africa, and he has a food chain.
Yeah, Marcus. That's right.
Right. Let's go. I mean, it doesn't count if you went to boarding school and you're born in New York City. And you say you're making African cuisine, because that tells me you can just, you know. Let's see if we can get an authentic African. You know what I mean? Here's one. His name is Eric Ajopong. You can't get more African than that. And he's talking about West African food. All right. Let's give him a shot. He's only 44 minutes. Here we go.
Finalist. Yeah, pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, it really is. Sort of like, it's a life-shifting deal.
I would say so, yeah. There's definitely a before and after kind of phase after Top Chef happens, so it's hard to say where everything is kind of leading, because I'm still, like, the elevator is still kind of clicking.
Wait a minute. Bullshit. He doesn't sound African to me.
No, he doesn't
what
sound
is going
like
on?
It. He definitely don't sound African.
No. All right.
Try Marcus. Marcus Samuelson. He was born in Africa.
Okay.
I think Ethiopia, if I'm not mistaken. And really nice guy.
Okay, I see. All right, I'll try him. Marcus Samuelson? Is that what it is?
Yes, Samuelsson.
Okay, let's go here. All right, yeah, because you know this time when I hear Top Chef bullshit, I'm sorry, I have to check out. I mean, it's a good show, but I'm looking for authentic. Marcus.
Yeah, he was born
Samuelson.
In Ethiopia.
Okay, here we go.
Restaurant is named Red Rooster.
Yeah. His final interview. Did he die or something? What did it say? His final interview.
No.
Okay. He's cooking with Michelle Obama. I'm trying to get him into his. He's at a tasting event. Where is he cooking? Okay, he's cooking with Michelle Obama. Let's just go there. Okay, Chef. I hate these little shows. You know, on Good Day LA and. But all right, I'll listen to him.
Worst amazing all the time, but I just like it.
It's so hard to find an African chef. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Yeah.
The First Lady's Let's Move campaign is now in its third year, and they're sharing thousands of healthy recipes with the My Plate program. Super Chef Marcus Samuelson joined Robin and Mrs. Obama to whip up a few of them.
We are moving here in the kitchen with Mrs. Obama and Marcus Samuelson. You know him from Red Rooster here in New York City.
One of my favorite restaurants.
That yard bird. Today you're not cooking yard, but today it's all about a healthy meal. So, you know, you gave us a challenge. On my plate, we have to have 50% of the plate should be vegetables or fruit, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to do a stir fry.
Okay.
So if you, Robin, if you put in a little bit of orange juice, garlic, and just a hint.
Already off to a good start. So this is one of the My Plate approved recipes that people can go online. This is one, if you can smell, I mean, this is meat.
It smells good. Yeah, it is.
It's lean meat.
It's lank steak, which is a lean cut, and it's also quick. quick and affordable to do.
That's the point.
If you go on Pinterest page, you know, and you look up my plate, there's over 3,000 recipes
today
that you can look up.
As of today. And there are going to be more.
Absolutely. It's all healthy, great recipes that your partnership with Epicurus.com, with Food Nuggets, Food
Network. He's done his homework.
I have.
Believe me. Marcus is our guy.
He's like, listen,
well,
you do your homework.
He's one of the chefs that is showing the nation how to cook healthy, but also with that,
it should be both. Tell people what you're putting
in.
I'm putting a little bit of onion in the bake, a little bit of powder, and
curry,
and then
okay.
a little bit of tomatoes. And we're just going to cook this off. And I have here vegetables, right? This could be the hardest thing for kids to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make your vegetables flavorful. So I have a little bit of sesame seed, a little bit of onion. And we're going to stir.
And it's also in little pieces, which is also good for kids.
Absolutely.
You know, if you put big, huge chunks in there, it feels a little more intimidating. But this is
broccolini. Broccoli or broccolini. It could be any green.
Well, and this is the other thing. It's like how many mothers who've been working, they've been building their careers. You don't learn. And it's not just mothers. It's parents generally. You don't learn how to plan a meal. You know, you don't learn how to sort of figure out how to make a week's worth of food, so that's why people sometimes wind up eating out.
This is true. So they have a resource.
Eating out is not bad.
You know what? I don't know. I'm not with him. I want a big bush guy. You know what I mean? I want a real African. I don't want nobody who's cooking for healthy African food. Come on, man. Come on.
Have an African chef that isn't cooking African food. So it's almost like an Italian chef cooking chitlins and playing hip-hop.
Right.
We don't have that type of support for anything African, language, food. So therefore, the Africans come and cook American or Italian cuisine. We have a place in New York City owned by an African guy. It's called Jacob's, but he cooks soul food, black soul food. Finding African food, you only find it at small places where Africans go. African Americans, Caribbean Americans don't support them.
That's a damn shame. I mean, because I'm trying hard to look for something. You know what I mean? I want authentic African food. I don't want some guy with Obama and she's talking about her agenda and eating healthy. You know, eating healthy for an African is a missionary on a diet. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, who is the other female co-host? Is that Gail?
No,
oh,
who is the female co-host? I know the voice. Yeah.
It was another. It was just too
bourgeois. That was
for me.
Curry, right? Or Soledad?
That was Cooking with the First. I don't know. I changed from them. I'm over them.
The voice is familiar.
Okay, here we go. Now, this woman's talking about Bray cooking. Now, she's a real African. Gordon Ramsay went there, so she's explaining some cooking. I think this is as close as I'm going to get because I'm trying hard. You know, East African recipe from Chef Lola's Kitchen. Chef JJ introduced his West African roots with his version of chicken yassa. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying as hard as I can. African cake recipe. It's a pound cake. African chef versus a Chinese chef. All right. Let me just go to Gordon Ramsay, a woman from Africa. She took him Bri. That's what we're doing. It's 4 minutes. Maybe we'll get some authentic African people talking. But you are right. It tells me that there is a void for authentic African food, and people can cook it. Here we go. Let's see if we can get this. Yeah, he's in Africa now.
Loud and clear. I've been fishing in some remote places, but never in front of an audience of hippos. I'm constantly looking over because those things charge. Lonely.
Yes?
That thing's getting closer.
Yes, I can see it. We are safe for now.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes. I'll tell you when to run.
Lonely, I'm 3 times heavier than you. I don't move that quickly.
Yes, I can still run faster than you.
Trust me. I'm not leaving here until I catch a decent fish.
Yes, yes.
Come on, Bass. I'd like to catch a fish. Come on. Oh, I think I've got one.
Yeah.
No,
No, I have, yes.
You missed it.
No, no, he's on.
Still on.
He's still
yes,
on.
Yes. Pull it back slowly, slowly. Good. Oh, good, you see?
Now that is a good one for the...
For the chief.
For the chief, right?
Ah, he's going to be happy, eh?
Now, Lonely may have caught the most fish, but let's be honest, I caught the biggest. I want to save my fish for the chief, so I'm taking one of Lonely's back to Zola. She might assume that I caught it, but if you don't say anything, I won't either. Zola!
Hey!
We are not empty-handed.
Oh, look at that! I'd like you to scale and gut that guy for me, please.
Scale and gut it.
The point here for the week is to hone your Zulu warrior skills.
Right.
Brying is quintessential. We're keeping it very plain, very simple, just a little bit of seasoning. The ingredients speak for themselves, generally,
yes.
Which is, you know, in line with tradition in terms of our flavor profile as Zulu people.
Gotcha.
So here I'm making something called ushatini. So it's a combination of onions and tomatoes chopped up, which I've got here. And I've been mentioning to you how, you know, the Zulu palate is very simplistic,
yep.
But KZN is the biggest population of Indian people outside of India. We do add a touch of chili every now and then.
Right.
Because that sort of culture has infiltrated throughout the region.
So no oil?
No oil. No, no oil. Remember, this is Zulu warrior cooking.
Sure.
There was no such thing as olive oil available, etc. So you just went straight.
Straight on?
Onto the fire, yeah. So wherever you see the coals at their whitest,
there.
You'll know that they're the right temperature. There you go. Good sizzle.
Wow. What's becoming very obvious is it's very simple.
That's
this tribal cooking in a way that it's a huge emphasis on the fish and the meat.
Yes.
What's the big no-nos for the chief?
Zulu people in general do not like their meat rare. I know, you know, you're Gordon, so you're going to want to give it to them medium rare.
What happens if you just try and suggest he takes it medium rare?
I don't know. I've never heard anyone suggest anything to the chief before. But you could be the first, Gordon.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, fresh piece of fish.
Wow.
Right on there.
Oh,
hang on to that for me. And then I'm going to pop the shatini on top of the flesh.
Amazing how simple it is. And you think of the fierce warrior in terms of what he stands for, how important he is, and look how simple that is.
That's it. Simple. Delicious. Good fishing. Mm.
That's delicious.
Mm. So good. So good.
But so simple.
So simple. All the ingredients speak for themselves.
I will see you I'll see you at the end of the week.
At the end of the week.
Any tips?
Mostly listen and learn.
Right.
And always remember, the chief is a hard man to please.
Gotcha.
Good luck.
Thank you. Sounds like I'll need it.
There you go. Zulu cooking. Simple. Simple.
Mm.
And there you have it. So you should search. So if you want to do something exotic, seriously, search for Zulu recipes, seriously. And it's simple, so it tells me it's not that much seasoning and that kind of thing. Fish. But we should have more and more, be honest with you. It's, I mean, where are they being represented? Where's our African tradition, Zulu and so other dishes, Nigerian dishes? I mean, there should be some cuisine out there somewhere. Some chef should be able to do this shit. Can't find it. Can't find it.
And it also would lead to such increases in revenue for African regions and people, because once you start doing the African cuisine, you get into the African clothing, the African art, the African languages.
Yeah.
University programs start opening up to teach it. There's more pride. There's more understanding of the history, the culture. I mean, it's so beneficial, but so far it's not very
popular. Hotep, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Were you born in the United States or Africa?
Oh, no, I was born out of the United States, but I came here as a child.
Okay.
And then I lived in England for a while.
Okay.
So,
that's it.
Cool.
That is it.
So, great show. I'm hungry now after hearing all this. I'm looking for some
mission. I know.
And we'll find some
Jehovah's
Witnesses. I had
some nasty macaroni and cheese for lunch.
Oh, mac and cheese, yeah.
Yeah, I got to eat with the kids.
By the way,
too, right?
Red Rooster is a great restaurant. He's a nice person. Yeah, and he's a nice person. It's just all of us face this challenge. How do we sell
African or Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Latino stuff to people that don't want to buy it. And then you have to balance your books and your business plans to say, look, this is not panning out. Let me go back to the, you know, established norms that are acceptable in music or in food or in whatever we do culturally, or, you know. So
we have Jamaican restaurants and Jamaican shops, as you call it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's one that makes it through. Yeah, Jamaican food, yeah.
Yep.
Jamaican patties, Jamaican restaurants, Jamaican weed, yeah.
Yep.
The Jamaicans are doing it, Jamaican music, yeah. In fact, we're the only ones that really broke through in a big way that I've seen. Barbadian food doesn't really sell. Bahamian food, St. Kitts food, but Jamaica, yeah.
Yeah.
I think reggae helped because reggae became
so big. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, that everything piggybacked off reggae and Bob Marley and Chris Blackwell. And Jimmy Cliff, you know.
Yep. Yep. It's good food. It's good food. And the candy's really interesting, you know, from the shop, and it's nothing like we get here. It's real different.
I'm going to, every week we're going to have an African cuisine. Like next week we're going to be cooking yummy cooking curry goat recipe. There's a goat right there.
Oh, goat is delicious.
And we're going to cook goat. And curry. It's from Africa. And so we don't have enough time today, but... Here's a little tease. We're going, and I'm looking at it, so it is Africa. So here's a little tease. He's sweeping the area with the bamboo. And, it looks like Vietnam, so I don't know if this is Africa, because I don't know where we're going to get the Asians in Africa. So I don't think it's African. But they're cooking goat. I'm going to claim that as Vietnamese and not African.
I know that Jamaicans eat a lot of goat.
Do they really? Really?
Yep. And it's good. Goat is good.
Well, we got one more shot. 2 minutes. See if I hit a goal. Here we go. These are two guys. They're chefs. They're serving up an African-American culture. And here's what they're serving. It's not telling me what they're serving, but here it is. It's 2 minutes. Here we go.
Hi there. We are a fusion soul food truck, so kind of taking some amazing flavors from Southern soul food and blending those with Central American flavors to give you a nice fusion of American soul. I wanted to celebrate African-American figures and historians that have made an impact on our lives. When I thought about building the truck out, I was like, what's a great name? And postcards seem to fit. When we get to a location and we feed you, hopefully you get that same good feeling from receiving our food, just as friends got from receiving that postcard that I may have sent from somewhere across the world. Because we are the only truck in Southern California, and I would even say in the country, doing what we're doing, all of the items were inspired by African-American historians. The name, our number one seller actually happens to be our greatest. It's a pulled beef brisket with macaroni and cheese and kale, and our Alice's Final Word, which is macaroni and cheese with dirty rice and beans and a roasted chicken with a nice mesquite seasoning. And then we have a special that we kind of introduced to our menu called the Maya A Cornbread Fritter. Fresh corn and mal peppers, topped with mac and cheese. I switched from what I was doing, from more brand management, marketing, and so forth, business development, to this because I was tired of working for companies that I had a tendency to be like the only one that looked like me in the room. And sometimes I felt that they were definitely those glass ceilings, and I wanted to be in control of my life and my destiny, but I wanted to do something that was creative, and cooking is creative. Based on that, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a food truck and start a business. And it's been 4 years now, so it's been working out quite well.
You know, anything you'd have is a wrapper bowl.
When I was growing up, my parents owned two restaurants. It definitely kind of set a foundation for me and my brothers. Kind of gave us a constitution for being hard workers.
Best food in Persian Square.
You look at some of the things the customers are saying, it's all very, very positive. That also helps with making you want to get up the next day and say, I want to do it again. For me, I'm successful because I'm happy.
There you go.
We will explore African cuisine next week. I really want to promote African cuisine, food. I mean, most people don't even know what that is, and there's not many African. You get soul food restaurants. There's nothing that says African cuisine. Like, if I saw a restaurant that says African cuisine, I'm going in there. You know, soul food. I still think soul food has a lot of flavor of Southern food. It's just Southern, just another name for Southern food. I could be wrong. That's it.
And opening a restaurant is very expensive. There are a lot so for some people, if there isn't a market, what they'll do instead is have a small little African place, but not a cuisine and not a restaurant. Mm. There isn't the demand, and that demand comes from the mind. If people don't want to eat African, then what happens is, you know, it doesn't survive, just like the languages that are dying in the world.
That's true. I think Brian's African, authentic African dishes will probably work well. It'll bring in the Africans.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will. I'll be rich, right? Brian's African food cuisine. Yeah, let's go pure African. Or I can just put an O with it if it doesn't work out. And it's like, oh, Brian's food, and I'll get the Italian people. And I'll just serve beer. Either way is my go-to.
They'll show up for sure.
They'll show, yeah, the Irish will show up for sure.
Oh,
O'Brien,
yeah, they drink.
Yeah, it's authentic loss.
Right.
Black Russian. Yeah. I want to thank the great, infamous, famous Hotep for coming in the studio today. Thank you so much for coming in the studio and leading the conversation. You know, Angela came in, and she missed me so much. You can tell that she missed me. And as soon as she heard my voice, she left. So I don't know what that's about. She's probably in the tub by now. Thinking
yeah,
great
she missed you so
me.
Much. She went for a cold shower.
She left. Yeah, that must. It must be that. It must be that. But I'm going to give him. It must be that. Hotep was in the studio, and let's go with Hotep. Give him a chair, the mighty Hotep. The marvelous Melissa. Melissa from Maine. The marvelous Melissa. And, of course, the Ebony Queen herself, Laverne, came in the studio today. Laverne was here today. And yes, a couple of 111s I did not open up, went in and went out. Who gives a shit? I don't know why they do that. But I want to thank everybody who supports the show, everybody who missed me, everybody who was concerned. Oh, I forgot. And the King of Kings, Your Highness.
King, the King.
Your Highness was here today. King. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody supporting the show, all the nice people who were concerned about me. I know you were concerned because you kept it inside and I did not hear about it, but I know you're feeling me. Thank you. That's it. I will be on the air Monday. I took a couple of days off. I just had things to do. Things to do. I have guests coming up, and I've been positioning my camera. I've been setting up my studio, so I'll be on the air interviewing them simultaneously. You'll be hearing it on Blog Talk. There'll be a channel where you can go to if you want to see the interview. So I'm setting that up, too. So we're always moving forward, everybody. And just want to say, fuck you, Joe, wherever you are.
Oh, bitch.
All right, guys. Have a great week and stay safe. I love you guys.
You too.
Bye.
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 Bye.